Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us here today at Freedomizer Radio. Find us at freedomizerradio.com. There's a live chat there for you. Normally, you would be listening to Brother Gregory talking about the Kingdom of God on the Sabbath hour. Our topic today is all about God, what He gave us, what we're made of, the beautiful minds and abilities that He bestowed on us, His children. Music is a God-given gift. It's a feature of the divine nature, and we have been made in the Creator's image. If emotions are something like God, okay, well, let's do a sound check here and make sure that I'm back online. Looks like we had a little technical issue here, so sorry for the inconvenience. gosh, I just love this. I want to introduce to you Tom Casella. Tom and I met probably a year and a half ago. He is a music teacher for special needs children, and we began working on this project in September last year. And for me and for him, life has never been the same. He will share with you his music theory, discoveries in the flower of life, which he calls flower of music, and his vision on how to affect real change in human consciousness, based on his research, his personal transformation since his encounter with the flower of life, and how he believes that we can change the world. So, without further ado, my friend, Tom Casella.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going. I don't know why I was so nervous today. I'm talking to, you know, one of my very best friends in the whole wide world, surrounded by people who have been gathering from all over the place in support of this project. So I'm just going to tell myself I have to relax.
Yeah, deep breath.
Wow. So, Tom, I mean, we've been working on this little Flower of Life project since September.
Yes, we have.
There are a lot of people who are very interested in finding out what your theories are and what your vision for the future is. So, do you want to just take it away?
Sure. Well, I guess I'll start by saying that that it's been a real ride since this all started, and basically I think that I've through the research I've found a bunch of things that I'm going to say a bunch of things that I'm sure that most of you have already heard before or know and everything, but I kind of want to make a picture. I want to put a bunch of dots out, and what I want to do is connect the dots, and then hopefully it will just reveal itself to you. Like, I feel like it has revealed itself to me. And I'm trying to come up with the best way, the best order to kind of to explain this. And when this idea is done correctly, or, you know, done right, the world will absolutely change. That this entire world can absolutely change, and that it's a world of complete abundance, that there can be complete happiness throughout the world and peace, and that everybody can have their dreams and desires come true, and that there does not need to be any suffering. There does not need to be war. There does not need for there to be the existence of anything negative on any scale or whatsoever. Although we do live in a world of duality, we do definitely have the power. And this is, I think, one of the fundamental principles of it that we are the general population of the world hold the most power, because we're the ones that hold together the construct of this reality. We're the ones that create it, and the power of it all is determined by what we are thinking and what we're feeling and what we are emoting to each other and what we think the world is. And what I really believe is that what people have to, what's going to change this world, what's going to make this shift in consciousness, what's going to absolutely really bring us into this new era of the human race is self-realization, self-understanding of exactly what we are, who we are, and how we interface with this reality. And the basis of this, let's get right into it, is music. It's music up and down, left and right, all around. It's music. And, you know, basically, out of all my notes, I've pretty much summed it up into three little statements. And it's just saying, everything is vibration. Music is vibration. Music is everything. And I'm prepared to explain to you exactly why, how we can do this. And I don't know the exact best order to do this in, so if you want to give me a jumping point, I'll jump into it, and I'm sure it will just all fall into place. Are you there? Hello?
Oh, sorry. I put a mute on my phone because the dog likes to bark at everybody who walks by, so.
Okay.
That.
I thought I was talking to nothing for a while. Okay, good.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I have to manage my audio on this side so nobody can hear the dog every single time she barks.
Yeah, I've been running my dogs around all day in hope that they will just fall asleep.
Sleep.
And not bark. So.
Let's start at the beginning. I mean, start at the beginning with your introduction to the flower of life.
Well, I think I know where I want to start.
Okay.
All right. Where I want to start is where I, not so much at the beginning of working with the flower of life, but let's start there. I'm sorry. You're right. Beginning of the flower of life. I saw this pattern. It was said that music exists in it. I saw people trying to do it. I printed out the pattern, and first try, it just came out. It was, I think it was some kind of divine intervention, but I found the mathematical equations of how music fits into it. And so then I went on and on, and I did so much research, and I did a lot of relearning all this music theory that I learned in college. And it was an infinite pattern that I found, and I trimmed it down into something that was that you can use at a level, like the smallest part of the pattern that contains all the information, all the music. And basically, I color-coded it, and then so with formulas of just using colors, you can extract any information of any kind of musical harmony or mode out of it. So that's where I was at it. And so I spent a long time working on that. And I feel like I got it. I almost have it down perfect. But there's more in it. There's more. When people start seeing this, they're going to possibly see more than I'm seeing, and that's why I spent so much time on it, because I really wanted to see everything I could possibly see. So that was all great and stuff. And then, you know, I'm doing a lot of research on the truth about everything, and I'm looking for truth on this, truth on that, because, you know, once, you know, this started about 4 years ago, and I realized I was being lied to, you know, just about, like, everything, you know, the media, whatever. They're, you know, it's not the truth. And so I wanted to know why. And so it led me on this long, long research, and then finally it got to the point of vibration, and that everything is vibration. I mean, you could ask any question in the world, and it fundamentally can be answered with vibration. All maths, all scientists, all geometries, everything can be reduced down to vibration. So if we're looking at the world and the whole reality being fundamentally a vibration, then we have to look at music, because music is the creation of vibration. And I want to talk about the properties of vibration and what it does in this reality, in this world, on matter. Okay. And the one that really flipped my perspective was when we were looking, and I was looking at a the water droplet. And a water droplet with a simple vibration going through it, all of a sudden, the water droplet turned and formed into all the sacred geometries. You could see the flower of life. You could see Metatron's cube, which holds all the five platonic solids that all matter is created out of. So, and at that moment, I said, oh, darn, I mean, like, everything. Then I started looking around. I started looking at my lamp. And I started looking at the table. And I'm like, wait a second. These are vibrations. These are all vibrations. This is really literally. It's not like this is matter that has a vibration. No, this is a vibration that has, you know, that has manipulated and turned atoms into an object. So, and then also when you look at vibration plates and they put sand or iron filings on it, they instinctively, intelligently know where to go. They make patterns. They, you know, and then like the iron filings form like 3D figures. It forms things. So then I was thinking, well, then I'm a form. I'm here. Well, what's my vibration? Why am I held together? Why am I here? And then I came to the conclusion that it's your DNA. Your DNA is your vibration. That's what holds all of your atoms together. That's why the atoms, which ones know to be, you know, parts of your eye or parts of your arm or, you know, parts of the brain or whatever, it is directing all of your atoms in perfect synchronicity to make you. And so you are a vibration that's held together, and your DNA doesn't more or less change. It's you are who you are, and you are a vibration. And then I thought, okay, well, I know that your brain is sending out frequencies. Your brain is constantly sending out frequencies based upon your thought, your conscious. Your conscious mind thinks of something, and your brain responds to that and starts sending out a frequency. Now, when your brain sends out that frequency, it is being played against, or it's being sounded against your DNA. And that's where I believe where your emotions come from. When you're there and you are feeling something, it is directly from what you're thinking, what you're feeling. What you're thinking makes what you're feeling. And between your DNA and your thoughts create a harmony. Now, this can be a dissonant harmony, or it can be a consonant harmony. Now, when I would like to say when you're playing an interval of unison, or the perfect fourth or perfect fifth, those harmonies, I would say, would represent something like a positive emotion, feeling good. It's in tune. That means what you're thinking is in tune and is in harmony with your DNA. And your DNA is everything that you ever have been, everything that you are, and everything that you ever will become or want to become. So it's really directing you. Your feelings are telling you exactly if you are doing what your ultimate bliss is. Because if you follow your bliss, that means you're thinking the thoughts that are in tune with your DNA, and that ultimately you know that you came here with all the abilities and everything that you need to do to follow your bliss. And I say to somebody who doesn't follow their bliss, that doesn't listen to their emotions and feelings, I say that's almost like saying that your logic is you're smarter than your DNA. It's like you're saying, well, I think that I'm smarter in my DNA because I know that, well, I need to get to pay this bill and that bill, and I have to do this, and this is what society tells me I need to do, and this and that and the other thing, where, you know, you put your emotions to the side because you're not told. I mean, you're not really taught. I mean, yeah, oh, everyone says follow your bliss, follow your dreams, but then it's like, yeah, well, reality this, reality that. You know, you have to do this and that. But I say no. You know, and people say you have to have a plan B. Absolutely not. Go for plan A. A plan B will only take away from what you truly believe. And you put attention on plan B, and guess what? I think about 90% of the time people have plan Bs end up doing plan Bs instead of their plan A.
Maybe because they're not confident enough to go for the plan A, and so they've developed this plan B so they can kind of settle.
All right, and people don't need to settle. You know, people can have and be and do anything that they want. I mean, this reality that we live in. I mean, if we look at, you know, just matter itself, matter is made up of just atoms. Everything, you know, everything in the universe is made up of atoms. We call that the building blocks. But those building blocks are 99.9% empty space between the nucleus and the electron. There's nothing there. So then you think, well, I'm made up of a material that's 99.9% empty, but I sure seem solid. You know, I sure seem like I'm really here. You know, and, you know, our eyes are deceiving. We're moving like sand constantly, but our eyes see us as being something that's solid, and you see the table as being something being solid. But it's all moving. There's not one thing that's not moving that we can possibly put our attention on. Everything is. And, you know, so, and when I talk about, I'd like to interchange the words energy, sound, frequency, and vibration all together, especially sound. You know, I think we separate the word sound from those three other words because it's something that we're, you know, experiencing with our ears for our senses. But I want you to imagine this, I was saying that your DNA is a frequency. And imagine it's a huge number, or it's a very high number frequency, and most definitely out of the realm of human hearing. And the human hearing is about, you know, 20,000 to 22,000 hertz, and we can't hear any above that. So let's just say that, for instance, we pick the number a trillion or a billion or whatever, the highest number you can think of that would be probably what your DNA would represent. Now, divide that number in half. In music, we call that an octave down. And then divide it in half again. And keep on dividing that number down until it gets under the number 20,000. When you do that, you're actually bringing it into the realm of human hearing. So then you could reduce it all the way down to a note that you can play on the piano. So I want you to start thinking that your DNA is not just a frequency, it's a sound. You are a sound, but you can't hear it. Everything around you is a sound. And feel as though your eyes are your ears for those very high vibrations, for your brain to compute them into your mind so you can actually see them. So, and then we bring this back to the idea of whatever you're thinking, and with your DNA and it being a sound. So your thoughts are sounds. Your DNA is a sound. You're actually making harmony. Your brain is actually an instrument. You are constantly making sounds that you can't hear, but it can be measured. Like, we definitely know that there is frequency coming out of your brain. There's no doubt about it. It's been proven by Dr. Emoto from Japan, who has exposed water to music, all different types of music, and has frozen the water. And the most beautiful water crystals appear. And it's different to each one, either from Bach to Mozart to Chopin. They all make different ones. And you can actually see, wow, you know what? That music definitely would look like that if I saw it in a water crystal. And also when Dr. Emoto had put thought and intention into water, and your thoughts and intentions, this is what I was getting at, was that you can measure your thoughts and intentions from water. You can blast water with intention of either thoughts of love or thankfulness or hatred. And with love and thankfulness, beautiful water crystals appear. When you put in something, I think it was exactly, I hate you, you make me sick, I want to kill you, it makes the absolute most disfigured water crystal. It doesn't look like anything. It looks pretty disgusting. And you would say that kind of emotion and feeling would look and feel disgusting. So this is my main thing that really started to flip my perspective was the idea that everything is sound and everything. So then that brings us back to music, and the music of being a creation of vibration. Now this creation of vibration is a very, very special thing. Being able to play an instrument and have vibrations come out, and knowing that vibration can transform and make matter move, and it can change physical reality. We know that our thoughts can change physical reality. We know that these things happen. There has an effect. It's not like all this stuff isn't connected. It's also very connected. So, that's why I make the claim that musicians hold the most power in this universe. And I also want to, and I was saying for thinkers too, because thinkers are, I mean, whether you're thinking or not, you're blasting out frequency. People that are thinking are sending out a concentrated beam of a frequency that's almost like amplified. Someone who's playing music is amplifying the thought. It's almost like a carrier wave. And so then I was thinking, after I saw this one study, it was published in the Yale University Journal Conflict Resolution, and it took place in 1983 in Jerusalem, right at the height of the Lebanon War. And they had they were studying Maharishi technology, which is a meditation, which is the intention of peacefulness, the mind going into complete peaceful state, not thinking about anything, and being in a complete state of tranquility. Now, what they did was they went into a square into groups. And the hypothesis was if they got the square root of 1% of the population in a group to meditate on peace, that it would affect the unified field of consciousness. So when they did this, they recorded how many people were there per day, and they also calculated the progress towards peace. And they calculated this by the number of war deaths, number of bombs, the number of terrorist acts, car fires, whatever they're doing, they had a control of how much progress towards peace. The more people that were there, the less violence there was. The less people there, then there's more violence. There's more war going on. So it took them 2 years to publish the paper because their results were very, very unexpected. They had no idea that this was going to happen. So when they did, they published it with a letter, and the letter said, could somebody else try this? Could somebody else do this? So in the next course of a 2.25 years, 7 other independent studies went on, and they all came up with the same results. So effectively, there is more evidence that meditation on peace can shut off war, and group meditation shut off war, than there is on, the example was aspirin curing headache pain or relieving headache pain. There's more proof that people thinking about peace can shut war off than there is proof that aspirin can cure headache pain. So,
wow.
So that blew me away. I was like, oh, my God. And then right around this time, I was looking about how vibration can construct these geometric forms in water that has all the information for every single possible element on the periodic table, even including thought and emotions and all that. It's all in there. So then I was thinking, well, what if we had musicians? We had musicians around the world, and in a coordinated effort not to be playing all at the same time, because there are the world peace music things and groups that get together and play, which most definitely have an effect, most profound effects, but they don't last. They only last for maybe 3 hours or at the most a day. So then it's like, well, what if we had musicians that does this make a pledge or a promise? And they would promise to practice at least 20 player practice at least 20 minutes a day, and any 20 minutes they want of the day, doesn't matter, and if they want to do more, then that's fine, that's really, really the more the better. But just have, and then setting forth the intention that knowing that music can change physical reality, it affects the brain, it affects your emotions, it affects people around you. It's a conveyor of so much spirituality. It's music does that. You know that. You're creating it. You're putting your soul into it. It's an extension of your brain. It's an extension of you. And then you put intention behind it, and intention can also change physical reality. You know that through these studies that when people get together and they think something, it happens. So when... And if we have a global effort with people, whenever they practice, because there's so many musicians out there, and if they all just thought, okay, I'm going to play every note I play, I know I am bringing peace into this world. I know that I'm making a difference, and that this is how I'm going to do it. Because when this is done effectively, it won't matter who is in charge of the leaders of the world are. It won't matter. I mean, we make enough food in this world to feed 12 billion people. There's only 7 billion people, and a billion of them don't have enough to eat or are starving. So you know, the way this is working, it's not working out right, and it's not, we can't cure this with politics. We can't fix bad politics or politics at all with more politics. You can't fix a house that's on fire with more fire. You need water, the opposite. You know, you have to get it with you can't cure something with more of the same. You know, you can't cure hate with more hate. It's got to be love. And that's what I think that this has got to be. If we want to heal this world, if we want to heal the field of consciousness, we have to do it with our minds. And that musicians hold the most power because they are vibration creators. And they can set their intentions with their minds. And when we can do this, we start to affect the unified field of consciousness. And the hypothesis is that if 1%, not the square root of 1, if just 1% of the population does this and is focusing on changing the conscious field, that it will have an effect across the globe. It will have effect over everything. So the simple math means that means 70 million musicians. That's why I came up with that number. There's 70 billion, or there's 7 billion people. 1% is 70 million. And I know there's more than 70 million musicians in this world. So what I want to do is get this word out, and that it's something that any musician can do. And even if you're not a musician, you know, just by saying I'd like to learn something, or I want to sing, or I want to do something. And also, Cheryl, you came up with the ideas of dancing and having, you know, dancers dance for peace and painters paint for peace, because that's all forms of vibration also. You know, your magnetic field of your body is pushing around all the other frequencies that are around you. And, I mean, that's really important, too, to understand. So when we in this vibrational world, our interface to work with it is our brain, and we have to utilize that. And that's why the people hold the power. The people hold the power because we are the controllers of the unified consciousness. Now, the people, I think that as far as what this information goes, the leaders of the elite of the world know this, absolutely, without a doubt. They know it. But they don't have the power, because I think that there's less than 1% of them in this world. And that there's, even if all of them got together and started meditating, all that is what they want, we are more powerful because our numbers are more. And it's not violence that's going to do it with numbers. It's going to be our minds with these numbers. And that when we set forth the intention of this, and we're playing music, and we're playing music together, or by ourselves solo, or in groups, or in concerts, or anywhere with anyone playing music and setting your intention, you know, you may not be able to see it right away, and you may not be able to know it right away, but but please believe, just know that you are changing it. There's no doubt about it. There's just too much evidence that it can be right in front of you to say, well, no, that's a nice little idea. But no, we have more evidence showing that this is true than what most people hold to be absolutely true. Like such a thing like aspirin, everybody would say, yeah, you know, I got a headache, go take some aspirin. Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking, change the way you feel, change the way you do things. Do everything for peace, like John Lennon said. You know, John Lennon said, you know, walk for peace. You know, take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do. Write a letter for peace. Drive to work for peace. Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out, because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument that affects it. Your brain is this wonderful instrument, and it's going to, you know, to learn how to direct and control your mind in towards these things. You guys are superheroes. You guys are the most powerful people in the world. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. And I think you are. I feel so powerful when I'm learning a new instrument. I'm doing it and I'm playing, and something like the cello I just picked up, and, you know, I'm trying to do this, but I'm just so motivated because I know that this is changing things. This is doing this. My mind is set on this. And, you know, I want this world to be a paradise. I want everybody to realize all of their dreams and to believe that they can have it. And also that belief is a frequency too. Because if you want something and you don't believe you can have it, you know, that frequency it's a canceling out frequency. So it's like, you know, you have to give it time. You have to have patience. You have to know that there are so many frequencies and sounds out there that whatever you're wanting it's going to take some time for it to go, but you have to stay motivated. You have to stay on top of things, and you have to keep that knowledge flowing. You know, you have to keep that going. You have to keep that positive energy and know that there are no bad things that can never happen. Because if you feel good, that means your vibration's good. That means that your thoughts are in line with your DNA. And that means that whatever happens, although it may appear to be bad or may not be the way that you expected it to happen, that's okay because you feel good. That means that this is just bringing you closer to what you need to be and what you want to be. And, you know, I might seem like I'm jumping around from one idea to the other, like music saving the world to realizing your dreams and having them come to you. It's connected. It's the same thing. Everything is a sound. The world is a sound. You know, it goes straight back to like Pythagoras with his intervals. You know, he created the 12-tone scale that we have today. And his theory of music of the spheres, you know, how our planets are in complete harmony with each other. And at the size and the distance of this away from the sun, it's in perfect harmony. It's like a beautiful, delicate dance that they're doing. And this is what I really wanted to talk about. I want to get people's thoughts on it. I want to know, you know, if this is something that you believe that can happen. Like we need to get the word to musicians and to try to get it across the globe, because if you got people around the world, you know, someone that wakes up in China or in France, you know, they wake up and they practice their instrument and they tell one person that day that's what they're doing. And then you start off with maybe like 10,000 people around the world doing this. And the word of mouth goes. And the thing is, it's going to be a 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year round, that people will be doing this. And it won't stop. It won't be like one event. It will be a nonstop event. Like right now, it's starting, and it will never stop. It will never stop.
I love your thinking. I love it. So here, what's really interesting that I found through, we've been chatting through the event, Calling All Musicians and Thinkers. You can find it on Facebook. We've been chatting on that page for the last couple of days, and the energy that has been moved.
Amazing.
It is amazing. People are coming in, they are feeling good, they are sharing themselves, they are sharing the kinds of music that move them, and it's all over the board. It's not just one kind of music. It's not classical or rock or this or that. And that's the point I was trying to make, is that it doesn't matter what kind of music you play or listen to or associate your energy with, as long as it's moving your energy towards the intent that you've set.
That's right. It's when, you know, with music and people, everybody has a different taste of music that resonates with them the most, you know, and that's what the idea is, that you're amplifying yourself when you listen to music. Your brain is creating these connections with synapses that doesn't happen normally without music. You know, music is one of three things that release dopamine in your brain, the other two being sex and food. And, you know, scientists can't figure out why that is. Why is it music that does that? Why is that? You know, and I mean, my answer would be because, you know, music is vibration and we're vibration. And, you know, it's sustaining us. It's making us feel good. It's resonating with us. And I think the biggest thing that science is missing is the connection with consciousness being a vibration and how that affects the whole physical world. And, modern science really doesn't address that, you know. And as far as quantum physics go, like, there's all these theories, but nothing's proven. But also, there's five different theories of reality, but none of them are proven. Think about that. There's five different theories of what reality is, but none of them are proven. There's no proof of what reality is at all. I mean, all we can do is look at the facts of, you know, we're made up of atoms, and, you know, we're here, and everything seems really real, but we have brains, and you know, we can, everything can be reduced down to vibration. And then I got asked an amazing question from a student, and the question was, well, if everything is vibration, then where does vibration come from? Like, where is the originator? And that's got to be spirit. It's got to be your soul. And then that's what, you know, the I saw someone posted on a Napoleon Hill video, which is absolute gold. And, you know, in his my favorite quote by Napoleon Hill is that whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve. Because the mind and the soul is the originator of vibration. Vibration, you know, creates the electromagnetic field that starts to hold atoms together and starts to attract and move mountains around in this reality for things to happen. And the more that I look at this and the more I think about it, it's like, man, that is so true. It's so true. And it just seems like I although I knew all this stuff, it was just recently just kind of put it together thinking this is really what it is. You know, I think this is how these principles will absolutely change the world, because we're looking at it at a different perspective, changing our perspective, changing our mode of action. And the most active thing that we can do is thinking, because I've heard that 99.9% of everything is the thinking. That the, you know, so much the actions don't count as much as your thinking does. So that's what I was thinking about as far as when I saw Napoleon Hill, it made me think of that.
Wow.
Napoleon Hill
that
is the best stuff. Napoleon Hill. What'd you say?
I said, you want to take a little breath there?
Sure.
Take a little breath if you would. Regather your thoughts. Here at Freedomizer Radio, we're going to pay tribute to the big boss man, Proof Negative. Thanks a lot. We love you, buddy. Here at Freedomizer Radio, that gives us a voice and gives us a place to do this radio station, this radio broadcast. We're going to go for a couple of commercial breaks, and we'll be back. Due to the technical difficulties I had in the beginning, I want to bring my co-host on after the break and introduce her to you, Tom. And so we'll be back after this short break. Thanks for tuning in, and join us at freedomizerradio.com in the chat room. We'd love to have you.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Okay, well, we're back. Thank you very much for joining us. Our special guest today is Tom Casella. And Cookie, my dear co-host, thank you for just being there and hanging out in the wings. I love you, Cookie.
Well, thank you. But I'm so excited about listening to Tom, and I hear the passion in his voice, and I hear him talking so quick and fast like I always did. And I just love listening to him and everything he's saying.
Glad he didn't have that third cup of coffee today.
I've been rationing it out.
Could I mention something to you, Tom?
Sure.
I love the fact that you're bringing up the DNA and the blueprint, because of the blueprint of the cells to our body. But there's another portion to us, which is the RNA. And the RNA actually to our bodies is like the architect or the engineer. And when we activate our RNA in our body, it actually works on vibration, like a tuning fork. And then it tunes into the strands, to the DNA, transmuting frequencies through our being out to the universe so that we're able to make these changes. And so I'm just very excited to hear about you bringing up the vibration and the frequencies of the RNA and the DNA.
Absolutely.
And what it does in the body. Because the flower of life actually is a geometrical shape that has a major effect on our whole being. And I love the flower of life. I've read the book on it, and I have the design. And I actually use it as an overlay for putting it on a superconductor, helping individuals to heal.
No, that's exactly right. The flower of life pattern is it's almost like a key to the consciousness. When you start working with it and you start drawing it and you start working it starts connecting parts of your brain and you start looking at the pattern and stuff, and it's almost very familiar. Something like you feel like you've known forever. It's almost like we've known this in the past, in our past lives, and we come in here and we're not allowed to retain any of this information, but you know, we're attracted to this information, and we draw it to ourselves and we start to learn it. And in a lot of this stuff, I'm like, yeah, that makes so much sense. Like, I knew that, but I didn't, you know, but I really felt like I did. And
well, it opens up our knowingness and our intuition to our internal guidance to help
absolutely.
Us process, you know, and it really helps us shift our energy field. And we can actually shift anything from disease into non-disease, or, you know, changing anything, and even mastering things in the universe. So when you become with music vibrates. And it actually gets the frequencies out there, and it actually, like you said, if everybody's playing different frequencies of music or vibrations, you're covering a whole wide area, and everybody is vibrating, and everybody is uniting.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited that you do the talking, but I just wanted to tell you how much I'm enjoying what you're saying.
Oh, thank you. I'm ecstatic to be here. I really love talking about this stuff. I love even more that there's, you know, that the people are interested in what this is in information and wanting to save the world, wanting to make a difference in the world. You know, because there's absolutely no coincidence that whoever is listening right now. There's no coincidence. This is resonating with you. This is stuff that you're saying, that you're inner saying, I want to make a difference. I want to know how to make a difference. And you already possess all the power. You have it all. There's nothing that you have to go out and buy or to learn or anything. It's all right there. You were born with it. You have it. It's just nobody's told you. Nobody's told you that how much power you have. They don't want you to know how much power you have. Because if we realize that, then we as a humongous group, as the human race, can make any reality we want. And, you know, we're vibrational beings at our very core, like with the RNA and DNA. Our vibrations, our thoughts, our feelings are all vibration. The world is all vibration. And we have to look at how we're actually being manipulated and controlled almost from almost every aspect. If you look at the food that we eat, you know, food is vibration. Food is information that we ingest in our bodies, and it's like we are sustaining our vibration by eating more vibration. Our sound is becoming louder, or is sustaining from eating more sound. And if you look at genetically modified foods, they're messing with the DNA of the food, so they're essentially modifying its vibration. It's changing its vibration, and it's actually there's so many effects that it does to the body physically, like with the bacteria in your stomach it messes up with and stuff. It also is, I just learned from my friend Judalyn Cole, that the certain resonance of the voices are starting to disappear, and there's very specific resonances like 111, 222, 33344 are disappearing. And this is all since the beginning of genetically modified food. And so that's why it's really important to try to eat organic, to try to, you know, to get as clean as water as possible. because and you know less pesticides because it's messing with your vibration. Even if we just look at ourselves as vibration, we want to put the best vibration that we can into us. So eating fresh organic foods is important. Eating meats that have been like humanely raised and slaughtered and stuff is important. That it's not filled with antibiotics. It's not, you know, I don't want to get into how disgusting some of the food stuff is, but that, you know, we have to be careful of that. You know, we have to also be careful of our air. You know, without getting into a big discussion about what's happening with airplanes spraying us with those white clouds, that's filled with aluminum. And then the aluminum that comes down and the fluoride that's in the water that says is good for our teeth, which is really, really no proof that it does any of that. So it's kind of harmful to your teeth, makes aluminum fluoride in your body, which is terrible for you. That's another vibration. You know, TV is a vibration that, you know, is filled with, you know, subliminal messages and telling you to buy, consume, consume. And they keep you from actually living your life because you're experiencing other people's experiences on TV. You know, you're just living through them, whereas people should really say, hey, my life is a TV show. Well, this next episode, I'm going to go to the store and see what I'm going to buy to eat, or I'm going to go shopping, or I'm going to go for a walk on this episode of my life. You know, it's just like you have so many experiences, and that every time that you're thinking like, oh, I need a beer, or I need to, like, you know, go party or something, just say, you know what, only reason I want to do that is alter my sense of reality. And if you say, you know what, I'm experiencing an amazing sense of reality right now without doing anything. And just think about that. That, you know, I'm experiencing a reality that, you know, there's no explanation why I'm here at all. I should be a complete blip. And that, hey, I have this brain that's this, you know, magnificent instrument that can affect the entire world around me. Why don't I focus on that? Why don't I just start directing my mind to this stuff? Because I know that the laws of the universe resonate with or work on sound and harmony. Now, this is another thing I wanted to talk about, why specifically musicians I want them to hear this, is because I want you to think about the universe as being one huge tuner. It's one huge tuner. The goal of the universe is harmony and to be in tune. So when you are thinking something, you're sending out a sound. And everything around you is a sound too. So when you are putting out your sound, you're putting out your frequency, the universe is going to start moving everything around you. It's going to start changing maybe who you meet that day or whatever it is. And it's going to bring these things to you. Now, the place where a lot of people, where they don't succeed on with this is that they don't have enough patience. They say, okay, I want this, and I'm going to do it for a week. And if I don't get in, you know, this thing in a week, I'm going to give up. This doesn't work. But you have to understand that, you know, you are broadcasting like a radio antenna, your sound, and it takes time for you don't know how many things has to happen before that thing comes to you or whatever that is, whether it's like a soulmate or it's a motorcycle or whatever it is that you want. You don't know what the best thing is for you. You don't know the best path that is going to lead you to there. So you have to just set your intention and feel good. And you have to believe it. You have to believe that this is happening because, like I said, belief is a frequency. So when you put those things out there and you be patient, the sense of you having it and feeling it, it's going to come. It has to come. It absolutely has to. You just got to be patient. You just have to let the universe do its thing and let it do its tuning. So when you, like, when you're around places and, like, you say, when people say, oh, I have a bad vibe from somebody, you know, you're literally feeling a dissonance between their vibration and your vibration. Or it brings new meaning to the tune, like, or to the saying, you ought to change your tune, or, you know, that's, you're never going to get this, or nothing's going to happen, or, like, if someone's misbehaving, you're like, you better change your tune. Well, that, I mean, basically, that's a literal saying, or a literal meaning, saying change what your frequency is of your head. Change your sound that you're producing with your brain. You know, your instrument. Change the tune that you're playing. And I think it would be absolutely awesome if you could figure out what your frequencies were, like the exact number, and then reduce them down octave by octave down into the realm of human hearing. And I think it works in both ways, too. Like, there's super, super low frequencies that we can't hear. If we could bring them up, and if we could all get it kind of in the realm of human hearing, that would be, I think that'd be sublime, that you can actually experience it that way. And there's other technologies, too, where you can actually not just hear it, you can see it, where you can put the sound vibrations through lasers, and the lasers actually show you the shapes that the music is making. And I think that's phenomenal. So that brings me back to what I was first talking about with putting vibration into the body and everything. I want to briefly talk about today's music that's out there. Now,
okay.
No matter...
Tom?
Yeah?
Let's do that. We're gonna make that our next segment. We're going to talk about today's music.
Okay.
And we're at the top of the hour, so I'd like to take our commercial break. And when we get back, that's what we're going to talk about.
Excellent.
Okay, so take a deep breath, everybody. If you have any questions, Susa Wanda is in the chat room at freedomizerradio.com, and she is going to pass them to me so I can run the studio and do what I need to do here. So if you have any questions you would like to ask Tom and you're not feeling very comfortable about calling in, please ask her to relay the message here to me. And we are going to be right back. So thanks for listening.
What if I told you that you had the power to change the human experience on this planet, the ability to change your very world where there's no war, no hunger, or oppression? A world where you could become, have, or do anything that you ever imagined. A world that is renowned in peace, love, and abundance. A world that may only seem possible in a dream, but can and will become a reality. I am in the business of restoring this world to what it used to be, a paradise. If it feels like an internal alarm is going off, then it is time to learn what it is you can do that will literally change your life and the world around you forever. My name is Tom Casella, and I figured out a way, backed by science and quantum physics, how to change the world. Please join me on Team Free State on June 23rd at 3 p.m. Pacific Time to learn how you can change the world.
Feeling the effects of all that GMO food? Has TV left you completely disconnected from the rest of man? Do you have any control over your life or that of your family? Want to know how to escape the Matrix? Then join me, Nikki, and together we can rise above dehumanization. Only on Freedomizer Radio. And you can catch me Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, that's noon Pacific time, and Saturdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, and 1 p.m. on the West Coast. Hope to see you there, Freedomizers.
Well, we're here today to tell you how you can change that. The well isn't dry. The air is an acid rain. And we're going to make some changes here. This one's for you, Tony. You have been such an inspiration over the last couple of weeks. I really, really want to thank you. And Tony was very nice to allow us to play some of his music. And due to my technical difficulties earlier, I was not able to do that. So I'm going to play you just a little short piece from Tony G.
Thank you.
Tony shared this with me last week or so, and it inspired me to watch this man playing the piano, to watch the passion in his body, and to hear the passion in his music. And there are tons of musicians out there playing their hearts out. And these are the people we want to reach. These are the people we want to touch. And these are the people we want to join us. There are greats that started this way before us and gave us a lot of inspiration. People like John Lennon have inspired a lot of people to take up the mantle for peace, and I hope that we can revitalize that in a whole new way, getting people every day, everywhere, to feed their music with their personal intention for world peace. And Tom, I just want to thank you for bringing this information to a head, because basically that's what you've done.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Makes me blissfully happy to do so.
So when we're talking about music today and how music today is different than it was, say, you know, 200, 300, 400 years ago, you wanted to talk a little bit about that.
I wanted to talk about the tuning, because, I mean, you know, the rhythms are different, you know, the words are different. I mean, even from the 90s to today, it's completely different, you know. But the biggest thing is that the actual tuning of A, that is the kicker. Today, we all use the universal standard that musicians use is A equals 440. Now, that may not seem like it would really matter, but for thousands of years before, we used the tuning of 432, and that's only 8/10 difference. It's something that it's very slight difference, but mathematically it makes an incredible difference. And I was trying to think of a good analogy to explain why of how that the difference is. Let's pretend 432 equals zero in math, and when you put to the 440 equals having zero be like 0.18 or something, and then you know, and then one would be 1.18, and then you know two would be 2.32. I mean, these numbers you can still use, but they're not, it's a little bit harder to do and mess around in with your head, because they're not whole numbers. When you use the number 432 for A, all the other notes, or almost all the other notes, become whole numbers. For instance, at A being 440, the note C is like 523.16 or something like that, and none of the other notes are actually whole numbers. But when you tune to 432, you know, C becomes 512, G becomes 384, and all these numbers you can actually reduce them down into their smallest number. For instance, so C, divide C in half, an octave down to 256, you know, 128, it goes all the way down to one. So let's see, I just don't want to screw up my math. Half of 128 is what, 64. Half of 64 is 32. And half of 32 is 16. Half of 16 is 8. Half of 8 is 4. Half of 4 is 2. And half of 2 is 1. So you can reduce C to the number 1. And then the note G, being 384, you can reduce that down to the number 3. And then you have the note D. You can reduce that down to the number 9. And then A, you can reduce down to the number 27. The note E, you can reduce down to the number 81. So, and then the note B, you can reduce down to 243. So if you look at this pattern, right, what I did was just I just named all those notes in the order of fifths. And the numbers that they come down to is like 1, 3, 9, 27, 81, 243. These are all triples of the numbers. So, you know, triple 1 is 3, triple 3 is 9, triple 9 is 27, triple 27 is 81, and so on. And this all works out. And all these harmonic numbers, you get the most harmonic numbers in nature. And now nature uses whole numbers. You know, nature uses the phi ratio, the golden mean ratio, and pi. That's what nature uses is whole numbers. You know, you don't have, 3.5 petals on a flower. You know, you either have, 3 petals on a flower or 5 petals on a flower, 8. And that's interesting because if you look at the Fibonacci sequence, the petals on a flower only equal numbers in that sequence. So, nature is all mathematical. And music being a total thing of numbers and math, it's like moving A from 432 to 440 is you're throwing it all off. You're just enough where we're not getting the full natural benefit of what music has to offer. And so, there's lots of sites out there like the Cosmic 432 that are very adamant about, trying to get the tuning to be changed, and it just so happens that it really got internationally changed in the 1950s, and it was headed by an ex-Nazi. And you just go figure that why would they be changing tunings of music for any reason? I mean, it was for thousands of years. I mean, in all cultures, all instruments like bowls and stuff that they would be tuning, and they didn't have tuning like instruments to know what it was, and they're all tuned to 432. Because that frequency is where the natural resonances happen. Like, okay, for instance, Jimi Hendrix, he would tune his guitar down a little bit, not because he was trying to get down to 432. He was tuning it down because he was trying to find the most natural resonance that his guitar sounded the best out of the amp coming out, and it just happened to be just a little bit flat. So he was doing that. The original Stradivarius violins, they were tuned to be played at 432. So, you have to ask the question, why exactly is it 440? Why are we playing all of our music? Is it helping us? And, what can we do to get it back down? I mean, I don't know if we could change the standard international tuning. I mean, that's a big feat to try to do. But if you were to change your tuning to 432, that could have immediate health or positive effects on you. And that, on how the music affects you and how it affects everybody around you. So that's something that is definitely a consideration to think about, is trying to play music in a tuning that is beneficial to our health and beneficial to, and that is in complete harmony with the world around us, because it's just a mathematical labyrinth. And we want absolute zero. We want the numbers to be whole. We want things that our brains and can compute naturally and easily. And the way that those things work, so that's how I feel about frequency 432.
Okay, I do have a question. Someone was asking, how do they tune their guitar, for instance, to 432? Are there technical assistants to do this, or is this something that this is something working with one's personal
resume? Well, I've done a little experimenting. For one, I had bought a 432 fork, and I bought it like a year ago, and I was like, oh, I want one of this, and I got it, and I tuned to it, and honestly, it sounded a little bit flat, which it was compared to what I've always been playing in, And I'm like, I don't know if I really like it. And so I just put it down, and I didn't really give it a shot. And then recently when I was looking at finding out this information about it, I'm like, wait a second, let me do this. So I tuned my classical guitar to 432, and I started playing it and everything. I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. I feel good. And then I started playing up on the fretboard, and I started getting sounds out of the guitar. It started to resonate differently than I've ever heard the guitar do before. And I was like, well, this is really remarkable. This is cool. So then when I went to work one day, I picked up one of the guitars, and I messed around with the tuning until I got it to be like that, until I got it to sound like that. And I got really close to being exactly tuned to 432. So one way you could do it is like how Jimi Hendrix did it, and just listen for the harmonic to resonate the loudest, which is, you know, that takes a lot of time and, you know, explicit feel on the tone and the harmonic. I haven't looked. I'm sure that there has to be like a YouTube video or something that just plays the tone 432. And if there isn't, then you know, maybe we have to create that. Maybe we have to create something somewhere that plays the tone 432. So what you would do is, if you had the tuning fork or the tone off the computer playing 432, you would tune your A string to 432. So then you would tune the rest of the strings accordingly to that. And
you spoke about the bowl, Tibetan
right.
singing bowls. If no one has ever heard of Tibetan singing bowls, there are YouTubes out there for you to go and listen to. And these people made these bowls and tuned them without any technology. These were done hundreds of years ago by feel. If people were doing it by feel and it resonates at 432, that should tell us something.
Absolutely. The frequency 432 also resonates and it forms the shape of a single light photon. It creates like a curved triangle, like the size of a triangle that are kind of curved. And one photon of light in three-dimensional form is exactly what the frequency 432 creates when measured with the visuals. So the visual creates something that is the mathematical formula for light, and then, you know, and then light is the frequency, is a vibration of everything, and then it gets right back down into sound and into the world being vibrational. So it's this thing that playing music at that frequency makes you the most in tune with nature, most in tune with your own body, and it all happens a lot on a subconscious level. Like, you may not, you know, feel it right away, but, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes later, you're going to feel like a humming inside you. I mean, this is from my experience. This is how I feel. Like, I almost have like a humming inside my core, and I think that it's from playing in these new keys. And, you know, and to be honest, I haven't felt so good, and I can't remember. You know, like, I don't even feel like, you know, I used to drink a couple of beers and stuff to relax, and I'm like, I already feel so good. I don't even really, you know, I already feel great. I don't, you know, I still have a beer though, but I mean, I don't need the beer to get any kind of a, you know, of a rush or a feeling or a goodness or whatever. I already have it, which is, you know, I think is priceless. It's a priceless feeling, and I feel really good. And so that's why I really wanted to stress that out to, especially this large, you know, group of musicians that, you know, that can utilize this and know that this is, you know, set your mathematical scale back to zero, where everything else fits, and then all of a sudden your whole body, your whole chemistry will work again in a faster, more efficient way.
It's just like tuning a car.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I want to stress at this point, while I'm thinking about it, if anybody here would like more information, some backup links, we'll be happy to provide those to you. Send an email with Music Magic in the subject line to seetheflower@gmail.com. The letter C, T-H-E, flower@gmail.com. And we'll send out a copy of all the links and stuff that we've put together. And
now,
some people have been dropping here in the chat room, too.
I think that a lot of the links, as the where the research came from, will be some of the really important things to watch and to get your eyes on and your ears on and your minds on. You know, especially the getting your hands on this on that study that was done in the Middle East. You know, that to actually read that study, because it's there's a PDF of it on the internet, and you can read what exactly they did and how they measured it. And you know, and what scientists have and quantum physicists have to say about that. It's important, because you know, you hear me say it, and then you know, you remember it, it rings with you. But to get all these other people, you know, where this information got from, it'll sink in more, and then when you go out and explain this to people, and saying like, hey, well, you know what I'm doing is that, you know, I'm practicing and I'm playing and I'm changing the world. I'm saving the world right now. I'm like, oh, you know, can you hang out right now? Well, you know, I can in 20 minutes because I have to do my part, because I, you know, not only am I practicing music, but I'm doing my part into saving this world and putting my positive intent out there. And they say, well, why? How come? And then you say, well, I heard this on the radio. I heard this. And you're like, oh, okay. But, you know, people aren't going to believe you, because people have their belief patterns and people have what they have to believe, and they're not going to want to change what they believe right away. Because if you tell them that, you know, that your thoughts can change physical reality, then they're going to have to go back and question everything that they ever believed in, and they have to start questioning things. And they like the system. Some people, like, I mean, this is from like the movie Matrix, that people are so dependent on the system that they're going to defend it. You know, like to the death, they're going to defend it because they need it so bad. But if you got somebody that kind of wants to know a different, to learn a little bit more, or is open minded to say, hey, well, that's interesting. I'd like to change that world. I'd like to be a part of that. How can I do that too? Because I don't really agree with the way the world's being run either. You give them these links. You give them these things. You give them to them in this order and say, well, look at this thing here. Look how water reacts to vibration. Look how these filings react to all the vibration plate. Look what water does. Look what water does when you put vibration or thought or emotion into it. Look what that happens. You know, look at all these experiments that, you know, have changed the field of consciousness. Whoa. And then once you start giving people those resources, then they can start connecting the dots themselves. See, this is, you know, each one of these pieces of information on by themselves may not say, oh, it may not, you know, ring bells in people's minds, you know, but when you bring all the dots together and then you connect them, then it makes the picture complete. And you say, hey, boy, I got a whole lot of power here. I got a brain. I am going to direct and control it exactly to what I desire and what I want, and I'm going to change the world. And that's really why we're all here. That's why we're here. We want to bring change into the world. We want to be happy. We don't want anybody to not have food or be cold at night. You know, it's just not. It's a reality that just doesn't need to be like this. And it's only like this is because we allow it to be. We allow these realities to go with our minds and stuff. You know, these are the types of things that we have to utilize in groups of people. And not only like in I thought for instance, like I'm really adamant about the programs on weather modification and them spraying tons of aluminum upon tons into the sky. And I would love to have it not be a toxic free air, you know, environment for us to live in and stuff. So what instead of, you know, trying to sue them or trying to like say, look at this, because I did that for a long time. But like, guys, look at this in the sky. Look at this. What are we doing? Why aren't we going up in arms and saying stop it? But you know, people are busy and they have their lives and stuff. But that's something that really irked me. But what I found would be my thing is that I sing to it, and I sing a song to the sky. When I sit on my deck, I look up at the sky and I sing a song called "Beautiful Skies." And the only words in it is, "Beautiful skies are waiting to be seen." And I'm putting the intent, the energy on beautiful skies. I'm not saying I don't want any more chemtrails, I don't want any more pollution, but because that would be putting the energy on pollution. I'm putting my thought and attention on beautiful skies, blue skies, natural clouds, you know, beautiful sunsets. You know, that's what I'm putting it on. And you know, these ideas, like for instance, like Mother Teresa, she knew this. Like, she would never go to an anti-war rally because of her belief, or her knowing that an anti-war rally is putting energy towards war. But she'd go to a pro-peace rally because you're putting the energy on peace. So whatever it is that we're wanting here is that we want no more war, but really what we want is we want peace. You know, we don't want people starving. We want people to, you know, have enough to eat. That this is so. When we set forth our intentions, it's got to be on exactly what it is that we do want. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know on Freedomizer Radio, we have been doing proclamations, and we have been doing a shift in consciousness, and the individuals that are listening have been participating, and they acknowledge and know that if something is negative, we change it to a positive. Now, the only thing we haven't been doing is doing it to music, and we did have a session on solfeggio music. We have had sections on Spontaneous Evolution by Bruce Lipton and how it affects mankind. Greg Braden on how one person's thoughts, if they change, can actually change 1,000 people. So our intent is always to put out there for peace and love and unity and different things. So we have been doing a lot of these things on Freedomizer Radio since February, and a lot of these people know about frequencies and vibration and harmony, and actually applying it with herbology and diet and thought and attitude and different things. So your aspect of coming in with the music is just awesome, because you can put any shift in consciousness is just changing the thought from a negative to a positive. And I do frequencies. I mentioned to Cheryl that I learned a long time ago from a quantum physicist that all of us have our own frequency numbers, and our frequency number starts with a 177 point and then 8 digits behind it. And you can actually muscle test to find out what your frequency number is. And by saying your frequency number over and over again, or applying it to certain things, you can actually shift your body, shift that RNA to activate into the DNA to activate your whole body so that you're open to the universe. So I just thought I'd mention those couple things.
That's awesome. No, that's terrific. That's the 1.77 point. But see, that's really cool. I'd like to look into more of that, because I'd really like to figure out how to get your DNA, or reduce, or to transpose your frequency to a note that you can hear on the piano, or at least something. How close are you to a certain note on the piano? Of course, using, you know, the Pythagorean intervals and seeing exactly where you're about. And I just want to mention, I think it's interesting that we have 12 notes on the piano. And I know in other tonal systems there's more than that, but in our tonal system, the Pythagorean ratios, there's 12, and that there's 12 constellations. That, you know, we have, you know, 12 different birth signs.
And we have strands of DNA in our bodies to start with, which can actually magnify to 24.
Yeah. So it's just like these numbers and these ideas about sound and about the music, and applying the shift of consciousness with music as an amplifier. You know, now this is what I want to do. I want this to be the largest science experiment ever to be done in the world, because I don't think this has ever been done, having musicians all around the world playing with intention and setting their intention and nobody's really knowing who's playing all at once, but what I do want to know is how many people have made a promise to do that per day? How many people have done that? And then I want to start finding out how to measure progress towards peace. Now, I'm not quite sure how that's going to be done yet, how what we're going to be using is like, you know, what is the control factor here and the variable of whether it's amount of bombs being dropped or, you know, war deaths or, you know, of whatever it is, or if it's like how many people have food or how many people don't have food. I mean, these numbers, I want to check them against how many people are making the pledge. Now, the way that the people can make the pledge is by, again, is contacting the See the Flower at Gmail. And then if you do that, if you can make that pledge, then I want to put this in. And then when we get to a big number, I want to go to a university that does these studies. Like, you know, Yale did a study like this. And so, you know, in the Middle East. So I want to say, hey, look, we have a large group of musicians that's growing globally. And we are, and our goal is to bring peace and abundance into it, and to see how if they will take on, and see how this is in a total, like, you know, looking at the hypothesis, looking at the number of people growing, and see if we can actually get it to the standard of a university doing this measurements, and then giving even more of a credibility thing for when we, you know, because I'd like to translate this into as many languages as possible and to get this message spread out to as many people as possible. Because I know that people would want to do something, you know, to change, to make a big change and a shift. And a lot of people, just all they need is just like this idea of, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I can do this. And when we get a huge global people doing this, I know in my core that's resonating. I absolutely know this to be true. I know that if we get anywhere close to or over 70 million musicians playing for peace, it has to change. It'll be a force so powerful that the world would have to change. There wouldn't be any argument about it. And that's our true power. That is our true power, is our numbers and our connectedness to the unified conscious. And we, you know, and doing it with music, and then doing it with also with dancers and stuff, and forms of art, you know, because it's all the vibration, it's all the thought, and it's all about, you know, what's in your heart, you know. And if this is resonating in your heart, then this is your part. This is like your almost your duty to be here as a human being at this crucial time in the world, and to make such an impact on it. You know, and this is, you know, it's almost like you guys are summoned. Like, I mean, you really are. In a sense, it's not just me doing it. It's like, this is I don't know, where did I get these ideas from? You know, this stuff was almost like it was just all of a sudden there in my head. And I knowing that this is what I had to do was to talk about it, and to get as many musicians that I possibly could and thinkers that I possibly could to look at these concepts and to say, okay, no, I get that. I can see that. You know, like, I know this. I know this, and I'm going to do it, because to know and not to do is not to know. So I'm going to say, I'm going to know this because I'm going to do it, and to make it a mission to bring this. Because imagine that. It's not going to be Superman that saves the world, or Batman, or the Avengers, or anybody like that. You know, there's lots of talk about, like, oh, there's going to be aliens that come down and get rid of the cabal and throw them out and restore peace. That's not it either. I heard about that, but, you know, would that be great if someone just got rid of all those evil people and made it a paradise? Sure it would, but I don't really think that's going to happen. I think that's just bringing false hope to people so that they don't do anything, that they're going to say, oh, well, someone else is going to take care of it. But it's you. You're going to take care of it. This is your opportunity to make the real change in the course of human history through music, through your talent, through your brain, through your heart, and putting it out there and you know, trying to reach other people that have the similar vibration that want to make changes, and that they know that there is a plan, that there is a place, there is a group of people, there is an absolute feeling that we need this world to change now, and we know how to do it. It's going to be with our brains. It's going to be with our minds. It's going to be with our hearts. It's going to be with complete love. And that's how we get rid of it, you know, because it's true. All you need is love. Yeah, because that's everything. It's a true vibration. It's an absolute true vibration.
So what we've been talking about, how the heart chakra magnifies 50 times stronger by setting out the vibration of love and practicing so-called what is our intent and shift in consciousness, what ends up happening is what we put out, we get back, but it also vibrates then through our physical body and changes the universe. So
yeah.
The thing is, you're right, we have to filter this through our bodies by getting the vibration up in our bodies and by connecting with music, and we're actually doing sacred geometry by doing that also because of the frequency numbers. But then we're also then magnifying, and that's why one person can change 1,000 just with the vibration of music. And so this is what I'm very excited about of what you're doing right now.
Well, that's the whole magnetic field of the heart. You know, it's something like the magnetic field of the heart extends out like 56 feet from the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like our whole resonance. It's not like our bodies, our minds don't end at our fingertips. I mean, it goes out far, very far, and that we're experiencing everything around us. You know, it's this constant game of tuning. The people that are the reality constructors, the people that that have all these great things, you know, and do all these things is because they're constructing their reality with their brain. Now, you know, and I'm trying to manifest the things that I really want to do in my life, and I truly believe that I will be able to achieve them because of all these things that I've been these scientific facts that I've been learning. And I absolutely believe it. It's in your heart. Yeah, I mean, this is what makes me feel the absolute happiest, is to play music and try to get the consciousness of people to really believe that they have power and that really believe that they were born with it, and that the only reason, you know, it's like being in a game and not knowing the rules of the game and losing or not know why you're getting what you're getting. And it's frustrating, but you know, but now you're being told, okay, your brain is the interface, is your game controller, and you have the ability to change your vibration to any time you want to absolutely anything. So like, you know, whenever you feel like you're in a weird situation and you're not comfortable and stuff, it's like, well, I don't feel comfortable with my vibration. You say, well, I'm gonna change my vibration. I'm gonna feel good right here, and you'll be amazed. Just by you saying that you're going to change it, it will change it. And I want to talk about quickly about the power of words, you know, because words are vibrations too that you're creating out, and you're actually changing. You're putting physical vibration out there along with intention behind it. You know, it's almost like the same idea. And there are certain things, like there's a book called "You're Hung by Your Tongue," you know, and the power of belief and saying, and you know, you have to be careful of what you say. You know, because there's Russian scientists that just came out with information, with research, saying that frequencies and words can reprogram DNA. Now, you don't have to actually physically splice it up and manipulate it around. Your words can change your DNA. So that's why, you know, people that get healed, you know, in the healing, they have the tumor, and the next day it's gone. Because they change their vibration with their thoughts and their words. And you know, if you say that, like, you know, I'm, you know, wholly healthy am I, I'm healthy, I feel great, thank you for my great health and stuff, you are, that's what you're creating by putting that into your DNA. It reflects all of that. And it's interesting that when you're looking at DNA, the patterns in DNA are actually almost exactly like all of our human language. And that it's more like our language is a reflection off of our DNA. And so these concepts about how we have our brains and we have our DNAs, and that every single thing in reality, including our thoughts and our emotions, are vibrations, and we can control that. That is the point that I'm really driving home here, is that, you know, your brain is an instrument. You know, even though you can't hear the music, you're playing music right now. You're blasting music out. and the entire physical world around you is responding to that, because the universe around you is a tuner, or you know, it's intelligently moving everything around for it to be which where you are. And I also wanted to put out that, you know, that these, you know, I know that there are some people that earlier that had brought up, you know, religion and stuff like that. But I just want to say that the scripture, or the saying, "Ask and it is given." You know, there's a great book by Jerry and Esther Hicks called "Ask and it is given," and that's, you know, a scriptural principle. You get not because you ask not, and what you're doing by asking is by sending out that vibration. You're sending out that music from your brain. And you know, in my own experience, when learning this and thinking about this, then going back and reading all the things about, you know, in the Bible, a lot of it really has to do with vibration. The Genesis, and they moved across the water. The moving across the water is the vibration.
How about in the case of in the Bible, Solomon, when he was troubled, he would have David come in and play an instrument.
Yeah.
That he would play the instrument and put his whole soul and mind and spirit at peace.
Yeah,
and relax him to the point that he could then go to sleep because he was troubled at that period of time. And I'm just wondering if he was playing like solfeggio music, or playing the music, like you said, on the proper key of 432, or a vibrational type of music, because even back then there was an example in the Bible of it. On Freedomizer Radio, people know that we are broadcasters, but we are also having a tent out for receiving, and they know with their minds we have the ability to change anything, even long distance. I do long distance healing and different things over the phone. And yet our energy knows no boundaries, and we are spiritual creatures in a physical body, and that's been discussed on the program here since February by many, many different individuals about how our frequencies in our body have the ability to change. And see, with an L-rod, Floyd, you can take it and walk up to a person and check where their energy field goes out. It may be go out 5 feet, and with your mind, you can, and your intent, vibrate your heart to the point of sending out love, and you can change your energy field to go out 20 feet, 30 feet, how many feet you want it to go out. You have the ability to zoom up the vibration, so to speak, of the heart, and send that heart love out there, so that when people step actually in your field, they feel it, they absorb it, and it makes a shift in consciousness in them also.
Absolutely. And exactly what you're saying, if with our numbers growing, with people with positive intention and peace and abundance, that is going to literally encompass the entire globe. It will change that unified field of consciousness that we all share. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like the idea of, you know, we all share one consciousness, like we're all droplets of water in an ocean, each having our own experience and having our own unique part, our own unique lives. But you know, there's so much evidence that there is, you know, that we all share a consciousness, and that it's and so important that we take control of our minds, and take control of exactly how we use our minds, and to be empowered. And that every single day when you wake up, you have to remember this. You know, write down, remember who you are. And remember that every day, because it's a lot of people. I have a hard time sometimes, and when I wake up in the morning, that's the hardest time for me to remember who I am, because it's like, oh my God, all right, I got to do all this stuff, I got to run the motions again, you know, it's not until usually towards the end of the day I'm like, I'm really into remembering who I am. But so what I've done was, I write it down, and that's one of the first things I read in the morning. Is that remember who you are, remember why you're here, You know, and because life gets too serious sometimes. You know, when life gets too serious, like, well, I got to pay this, I got to do that, I got to go and get this done, and I have to go, you know, change the oil in the car. Or, you know, all of these things, yeah, they got to get done, but that's not why you're here. You're not here to get things done. You're here to have to realize your experience into the most blissful thing that you could possibly ever imagine, that you can have and be or do absolutely anything. Now, if we want a world of peace, we can have it. We just need to pull together as a human race, and as musicians, and as artists, and as people that really care and want to make a change. And you know, we have to bring our minds together on a common cause. And our definite common cause, I believe, is to bring world peace, to bring change to the world, in just in the name of peace. And when this is done effectively, it's not gonna matter who's doing, you know, who's in charge, because people just won't fight. You know, Einstein says if you want war to stop, you need a whole generation of youth that will refuse to go to war. And so we
just talked about that last week. If there is nobody out there that are willing to fight, then we're not gonna have any war.
Yeah.
But you know, just to mention something is, the reason we're all here is for a purpose. And the purpose we're here is because right now a lot of us are waking up. As we waken up, we all have different frequency numbers and we all have different harmonies in our body. And we also have the abilities. And our purpose to be here is to unite like a great big jigsaw puzzle. And as each and every one of us unite and go into harmony together, which would be frequency or vibration through music, I can see the whole picture coming together where they're so strong, so powerful, that nothing can disrupt it. And that's what the kind of ability we all have.
Yeah, and they can't. They can't stop it. There's nothing that can stop it. You know, is it like, you know, the quote, you know, no standing army can stop an idea that time has come. I believe that's a Ron Paul quote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it's absolutely true. And you look at the tactics that they use to try to get. I mean, look at the most popular video games out there. They're like Modern Warfare, and you know, all of these video games are having these kids get so decentralized of violence and of killing people, and they think it's okay. They think, oh yeah, you know, war isn't, you know, it's just, there's always been war, you know, there's always been this. And, you know, if the kids would refuse it, you know, it's not so much, I mean, you can't really blame the parents. I mean, the parent could just say, don't play that. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, we had Mortal Kombat, you know. And it was a big deal if we had the blood code, you know, if we had the blood code of Mortal Kombat. It's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome, you know. But I could never imagine my mom letting me ever play something as violent as that. But, you know, but also it's a society that's changing, and that these video games are becoming the norm. And they just let these kids play them and desensitize them from violence. And they just think that it's okay and that, you know, their dream. And you have movies like The Hurt Locker, you know, that are winning these big awards. And then these kids' dreams, like, you know, it was a good movie and there's good acting and everything. But you have kids saying, well, I want to grow up and I want to go into the Middle East and, you know, and defuse bombs. I mean, that shouldn't be it. I mean, even certain things like on Nickelodeon, like on SpongeBob, you know, I mean, it's fine. SpongeBob's fine, but he flips burgers. And then he has a song about this perfect day starts with this perfect job flipping burgers. Why doesn't SpongeBob become a lawyer? Why doesn't he become a doctor? Why doesn't he, like, I mean, yes, he's following his bliss, but you know, he's such a role model for so many kids he's watched by so many kids, that he could try to do something different. And then things on, like, MTV, was it once, like, 16 and Pregnant. Why are these programs? It's terrible. I mean, yes, this is the reality that we live in, but why are you broadcasting it out for these young kids to be looking at? I mean, it's just poison. It's just poison to what they're doing. And, it, you know, it makes me sick that this is the kind of programming that has come. And it's almost like they become desperate to keep people's vibrations down. They keep them down, and that's why, you know, this the whole war is on drugs and everything, and like, you know, you've heard that, like, you know, that a lot of the stuff is trafficked on purpose, and you know, in certain drugs they're used, like, just like for the Chinese, they put opium into their religious practice, and because they wanted people to keep the people's vibration levels low, they don't want people to want to have more and be more and everything, so they're trying to keep it low. So, you know, people have to consciously say, I'm not going to expose myself to this, because when you watch things like that, if you watch, like, hospital shows or you watch, like, CSI and all this stuff, you're adding to that vibration, and you're actually, your brain is singing those vibrations. So if I was going to tell you, you know, what TV, like, that you should watch programs or movies and stuff, that things that you really enjoy, that you want to have or be or do. Like, I really want to travel. So I'll watch the Travel Channel, and I'll see all these different places around the world, and my brain is singing out those songs of, you know, these different places. And, you know, and eventually I know that I'll get there, because that's where my focus and intention is, because that's where I want to do. And I wanted to, like, a couple of weeks ago, I had this idea, and I'm like, I want musicians to save the world. And then Cheryl invited me on here to do this. So I said, this is absolutely great.
I invited you on here to do this before you started to save the world.
Oh, yeah, the way my mind is putting it.
This has come together, all of this knowledge, all of these thoughts, all of this thing has come together in just the last couple of weeks.
The dots have come together in the last weeks, yeah.
Since we said we were going to do this radio show. I mean, it just literally exploded. The energy just exploded in the last couple of weeks. Because you were going to come on here and talk about the flower of life and music theory and how, I mean.
We didn't even get there yet.
We didn't get there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some things here working that I'm sure that none of us really understand. The people who are listening to this program, people who come and listen to this program afterwards, there's a reason that you're here. There's some part that you're supposed to play. If you go to YouTube and you watch the little YouTube, it's called The Tiny Dot, you will begin to see what Tom is talking about as far as playing your part, doing your part every day, being that consistent. And this is something I knew from a while ago. It takes 30 days to change a habit. If it's a habit, if you have a bad habit and you're trying to change it every single day, you do this special ritual or whatever, and you don't do this other activity. It takes 30 days, and your brain, there's something happens in your brain after 30 days, and it just becomes natural. This new behavior becomes natural. They did studies with space when they sent people out into space. They had to do specific kinds of training so that they wouldn't get sick. They had to be upside down and had to have their head. It was some specific kind of physical activity. And if somewhere between 1 and 30 days, if that activity was stopped, they had to start all over again. Because it takes that long for us to rewire ourselves. Now, Tom, we're going to go for another commercial break. We need to do that. When we get back, I would really like for you to share with the audience what it is, some of the things that you personally did, to change your vibration. You were sharing with me the other night about things that you wrote down and just these various little routines and things that you did that helped you change your habit. So let's go to a commercial break. See if I can find my if I can find my computer part right here. So we'll be back after this very short commercial break. If you have a question, if you would like to call in and participate in the program, please do. We have another hour.
Yay!
347-324-3704. So please do call in, and we'd love to have your questions. Don't forget to come by and join us. Call to Musicians and Thinkers, calling all musicians and thinkers on Facebook if you'd like to join us there. We're developing quite a little group over there and sharing, so we'd love to have you there as well. So we'll be back.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Maker. I would like to invite you to listen to my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our international listeners, that's 1,800 hours to 2,200 hours Greenwich Mean Time right here on Freedomizer Radio. Always interview a broad spectrum of guests ranging from entrepreneurs to the eclectic. I also like to keep you up to date on the latest breaking news in geopolitics, world events, astronomy, technology, science, and how it relates to the 21st century and an emerging global order. Be sure to visit our website at freedomizerradio.com, take part in our lively chat room, visit our sponsors, or read breaking news articles on our Twitter feed. You can also find out more about the wide variety of shows and hosts at freedomizerradio.com. If you'd like to comment or speak with a guest during the show, just give us a call at 347-324-3704.
Do you believe we are not alone? Are you intrigued by the paranormal and psychic phenomena? Have you ever wondered if there was something abnormal about how the society operates? Do you believe you are here to do more on this planet? Do you feel as though you are living in a prison country or planet rather than a sovereign nation? Does it feel like you never had any constitutional rights or that they are ignoring it as if it wasn't important? Join me, Joanna Johnston, psychic empath and spiritual warrior on Illuminating Minds on freedomizerradio.com every Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, beginning on January 8th, to move further down the rabbit hole.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you very much for tuning in. Again, our call-in number is 347-324-3704. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call. Put your hand up. So, Tom.
All right.
We're talking about changing habits.
Well, changing habits is difficult because you have your synapses in your brain that are deep-rooted in these habits, and your habits are, you know, the way your brain fires is a specific way for a very long time, is very deep-rooted, and for you to do something different, you're actually creating a new neural pathway in your brain. And for that one to get strong, you have to consciously work on that. You have to consciously be saying, this is the way I'm going to do it, this is the way I'm going to do it, and the less that you use the other neural pathways that were with that habit, they eventually will lose strength. They will lose the want, because your brain you get a good feeling from using those pathways that are deep rooted, that your habit, and your brain wants to use them. They make you feel good. So to break that, you have to create the new neural pathways. I just want to mention that a lot of this stuff that I'm going to say, this isn't stuff that I came up with. This is an accumulation from a few different sources. They're from Your Wish Is Your Command by Kevin Trudeau. He has an amazing program on the CDs. I highly recommend it. At the end, he wants you to join his group, but you don't have to. He has so much amazing information on there. I highly recommend that. Anything by Napoleon Hill stuff. He studied under Andrew Carnegie for like 20 years and wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. And then it was said that Henry Ford took it off the market and edited down, and the word he removed out of it was the word vibration 39 times, and then put it back out there. And then people said, "Oh, this doesn't really work," because it was watered down. The other source is Jerry and Esther Hicks. She does channeling. There are source beings that talk through her, and they explain this whole law of attraction and stuff like that. And those are three very powerful, great resources to keep for motivation. And it said that you need to constantly be looking at this, constantly be reading this, constantly reading certain books. And a lot of these books came from these sources, especially the Kevin Trudeau, but like The Magic of Thinking Big and The Game of Life, and there's a ton of books. I highly recommend that. So now as I go forward and I start talking about this, that this is not stuff that I came up with. This is just accumulation of things that I have started to use, and I've seen a definite result, an definite feeling of my overall health, my vitality, the way I view things, the way things are happening that seem to be just kind of like, either magical or lucky or coincidence, but I really know that they're not, because I'm putting out this intention, I'm putting out my vibration, I'm playing my music with my brain, and I know that the universe is moving things around for me to make it happen in the best possible way ever. And so as far as changing your habits, it's saying that, if you want these things to change in your life, you have to change. If you want things in your life to change, you have to change things in your life. So if you keep on doing the same, you have patterns in your life, if you keep on doing the same patterns over and over, you'll keep getting the same things. Like if you always think what you always thought, you'll always get what you always got. So you have to change your thinking. You have to change it. And the first thing you have to do is decide what it is that you actually really want. You have to decide what is the thing that makes you the most blissfully happy. And once you have decided that's the most important thing. Once you've decided that, the rest is supposedly easy. Although it seems hard and stuff, because you can't see what's happening. Because all you know what's happening is what's on your radar screen. And if you imagine your radar screen just being, 3 inches in diameter, and really everything that's out there that's available is 100 feet in a circle, you can't see everything that's available. So that's where belief comes in, and belief is such an important part of this entire process, because if you don't believe it, you're not sending out the right frequency. You're sending out a canceling frequency. So that's a very important, very, very important, that you have to understand that. You have to believe it, even though that all the evidence may say that you can't have it, or there's no possible way that this could ever happen, you just have to know that it can happen. And that you just don't think it can, because with all the facts on your radar screen, it can happen. But you don't know everything that's available. So number one, you have to figure out what it is that you want. No matter what it is, figure out what it is that you want. Now the second idea here comes straight from Napoleon Hill. And Napoleon Hill said that figure out what you want, develop a burning desire for it. That burning desire, like something that you really, 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 really want. And this is the essence of your soul. This is the essence of what you want. This is what's going to make you the most, this idea of complete success. Then you decide what it is you're going to give back into the world. Like, what are you going to give back? Like, what can your contribution be to humanity? What is it? What are you going to do to give back? And then he says, from that point right there, from where you're standing, start giving. And that there's something magical that happens when you start giving, and that the universe responds to this. So this, your giving is a ripple effect of a frequency that happens to free up energy, and it will bring I'm not sure quite how it works, but that's how the mechanics of it work. But this is what he said, and this is Napoleon Hill here. And then have a positive affirmation. And the positive affirmation that I got from Napoleon Hill from watching his videos was, it goes like this. O divine providence, I ask not for more riches, but for more wisdom to make wiser use of the riches you gave to me at birth, consisting in the power to direct and control my own mind to whatever ends I desire. So, you take those three things. What it is that you want. What it is you're going to give back into the world. And then that a positive affirmation along the lines of that. It doesn't have to be that one, but I really like that. I do like that one a lot. And then you write it down and say that at least 12 times a day. Repeat it over and over and over 12 times a day. It doesn't have to be all in a row, but memorize it, repeat it 12 times a day. So what you're doing is that you're conducting your brain. You are actually playing a song. As you think this and you say this, your brain is sending out frequencies and sounds out into the universe. And your thoughts, your brain responds to your thoughts. Those thoughts create the sounds that come out. And then the universe acts as a tuner and brings those things to you. This is basically how he says that you can be, have, and do anything you want. And the where people fail is where they when they have doubt and where they don't believe that they can get it. If you believe it and you expect it, it should happen. You know, and this is something like, although I'm telling you this and I'm saying this is what I'm doing, you know, although I don't have all of my dreams manifested yet, I can tell you that in my heart, I absolutely believe that they can all happen and that they're going to happen. And I can see little things, little pieces of evidence of things that are happening in my life. And then as I see these little things of evidence, my belief level goes up even further. And the further up my belief level goes, the more things happen. And it's really having faith. And, you know, and it's another thing. There's a quote, like, you know, from the Bible, like, ye of little faith. If you, and it's the ones that are blessed are the ones that don't see and still believe. And this is, if you don't believe is where you fail. It's when you do believe is when you succeed. Whatever you believe, you put it out there, and you constantly think about it, and you constantly put it into your thought, and it has to happen. And I really wish I was teaching this when I have I'm on my way to 70 million musicians that knowing this information, and I see like all this great positive things that are happening in progress towards peace, and I can say, look, this is what I've been putting out into my out of my brain, and that I want to accomplish. And then I would be like, okay, well, you know, you've really done this and say that. So, you know, I guess that me saying this, you know, it doesn't hold as much water as a billionaire telling you it, because they obviously have made that manifestation happen. But what I'm telling you is this is a process that I'm working on, and it's only been for a couple months that I've been working with this. And I've seen it happen. And then there's a part of your mind that doubts, like, oh, well, was that just going to happen anyway? Like, maybe if I didn't think about it or anything, it would just happen anyway. You know? But the truth of the matter is I know that I created it into my life, because so many things happen so quickly. And it was exactly what the things that I was thinking about that I'm just like, wow, this is really, truly something. And you know, and it goes right into line with the study of vibration and the study of sound and the study of how we're going to do this. So, looking at these certain principles, and all of the research that has been done on how it affects reality, and all the people that say that this is definitely the how it works, you know, we got something good here. We got something really good. We have something that. Something that we can really believe in making a wonderful change, and you know, not in our own lives, and in affect everybody's lives around us, because we're all really one. We're just one human race. You know, this is nobody's better than anybody. There's nobody that is better than anybody else or worse than anybody else. We're all human beings, and staying unified is the most important thing. You know, we have all these different, we have countries dividing us, we have, you know, religions dividing us. We have, you know, cultures and colors of skins and races and all these things dividing us. And it's, you know, none of us know that when we're born. We're all taught that. And, you know, it's like we have to, like, unlearn all the bad stuff to get to the good stuff and to really love one another and to really follow that golden rule to treat one another like you want to be treated and reaping what you sow. And also being a super, super positive person, you know, no matter what. Even if it seems like the worst thing, every day I wake up, I write down best day ever and then a date. Every day I write down best day ever. And I always say, I say, like my kids or whatever, I say, you know what day it is? And they're like, oh, Tuesday? No. Oh, it's the 23rd? No. Or yes, it is. I mean, it's all those things, but that's not exactly what I'm asking. It's the best day ever. And then they ask, why is it the best day ever? Because I say so. I want to be the best day ever. I feel it's the best day ever. And if you put that intention off from the moment you step out of your bed and driving, you know, it is. It's double fold when you wake up and say, man, I should have got out of bed today, or you stub your toe and you're like, screw this. And, you know, it's like, oh, this guy on the highway sucks. And, you know, all these things. And it just seems like, man, and the worse it gets, the worse it gets. And then the better it gets, the better it gets. This is all the same principle here. It all goes back to vibration. All these questions, all these answers, how to do anything, it just goes straight back to one answer, vibration. You can answer almost any question, vibration. It's sound. It's the universe tuning everything. And that your brain is that instrument. So just you use your brain the way you want to. Not the way society tells you how to do it. Not the way TV tells you how to do it. Not the way that your parents told you how to do it. Use it the way that you want to do it, because you have your in you, in your frequencies, in all your DNA, and in your soul, you know what it is that's going to make you the happiest. And that's exactly why you're here, to realize your dreams. And that there's absolutely nobody that should stop you from that. And that the only way that they're stopping you from that is not telling you that you can. You know? I'm blessed to be able to reach as many people as I'm talking to right now and listening, that I can say that you could be and have and do anything, and nobody should stop you at all, because they don't have any power, and the only person that can stop you is you. You're the only one that can keep yourself with the limitations that you've put on yourself. You know, and there's just one last thing I want to say, and it's a story that I heard from Your Wish Is Your Command. It's about the elephant, and it's about, you know, seeing an elephant, a big circus elephant, tied to a little post in the ground with this little dinky chain. And, you know, the trainer is asked, you know, can't that big elephant just pull that stake out of the ground and walk away? And, you know, and the answer is yes and no. Yes, it has the power to do it, but it can't do it, because when it was a baby, that same identical chain wasn't into a stake in the ground, but it was in a concrete wall. And it would pull and pull and pull and pull, and then finally one day it would give up. And so now this adult elephant, when it feels the slightest bit of pressure, will stop. And it would just stop, because it's already known it can't go anywhere. And that's why I feel that, you know, our kids growing up is told, like, you need money to do this. You need this to do that. You can't do that because of this and that. And it's like they're kind of like pulling against this chain that's put into a wall. And finally, when they get out of that, and they're living their life, they've been given all these restrictions, all these limitations, but really they're these mighty elephants, these mighty, glorious beings that can just pull that stake right out of the ground and do exactly what they want to do and be exactly what they want to be and have no limitations and realize all of their dreams. And that's really what I'm saying, is that people don't realize their full power and potential because they've been chained to a concrete wall. They're, you know, beginning of their lives, and now they can do it. They're a mature spiritual beings that can just pull that stake right out of the ground and do whatever they want to do and be whatever they want to be and have complete faith and just know that the universe will always provide. Always provide. Just believe in it. Believe in your heart. Believe in what you want to do is your destiny, and that your destiny exists inside your frequency, inside you. So that's how I really feel. Everybody can do it. Everybody has the power. And that, you know, now we unite. People that realize their power, we come together and we think this out. We think it to being. We make it happen. We put all of our intention towards it. So at the same time, we realize our dreams and we heal our energy field of the earth, and we bring peace and abundance to it, and we're playing music, and we're putting all of our thought and artistic ability and our artistic hearts into it. This is why the human experience even exists, I believe. I mean, I don't know. Who has the true answers to anything? There hardly isn't any true answers to anything, you know, because it's all debatable. But what I've tried to do is come up with these scientific facts that we can all agree on and then use them to our advantage. And then using our intuition to know that this is something that is true and that it is the truth. And this is the closest I've gotten to the truth, because I had just been a complete truth hunter since about 4 years ago when I figured out I was being lied to. I couldn't stop looking for the truth. And it was this way, that way, this way, that way. And then finally, these last couple of weeks, it's come to it like a beautiful harmonic chord in my brain. I'm just like, wow, I got to talk about this. I want to talk about this. I want to get other people on this page, and on the same wavelength here, and start to work together. And when we work together, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. We can bring and manifest everything into this world. And it's like you just get back down to the fabric of reality. It's all just atoms. It's all just frequencies. It's all just vibrations. It's all just thought. It's all just spirit. And we're spirit, and we create the vibrations. We control this. So, that's why I'm so happy and blissfully happy to be here talking about this. And I have a humming inside me right now, and I feel absolutely phenomenal. I feel great. I can't wait to be, to have this whole thing grow, to meet more people and to talk to people and to get more ideas, because I know there's got to be so many ideas just firing out and people's brains just going off like crazy and thinking, and the amount of artistic stuff that's come out of this. And, I get, watching that stuff on the Facebook page that come up, it chokes me up looking at this stuff and reading it. It's so raw. It's just like this is the human emotion. This is the human experience, the human expression. And it's priceless. I mean, if you wanted to sum up the meaning of life, I'd say it'd be to express yourself. And the ability to do that is just—it's priceless. Because it's hard. Because some people, maybe some people can't, and they search their whole lives just to find a way to express themselves. And for us to that already can, we take it for granted that we can do that. So it's just—it's a whole lot of love. It's a whole lot of love. I feel a lot of love. What we're doing, it's about. It's the spirit. It's about love.
Well, that's exactly what it's all about. I saw recently, it was on a video, and he was talking about music and tuning and all these kinds of things. And, I was listening, and I always listen through things just one time without pen and paper, and then go back and listen to it and pick up things. But one of the things that stuck with me was a visual that he did. And he held a string between one finger, between his index finger and his thumb in one hand, and he held the other end of the string, so it wasn't very long, just 10 or 12 inches, and he held the other one with his other hand. And so he said, this is what a frequency is like. He was talking about frequency. And you were talking earlier about atoms and the space between atoms. Well, if you imagine that you're holding an atom between your fingers and in one hand and another atom in the other finger, and imagine that space between those atoms is that string. When you hold that string tight, there's a resistance that holds those two atoms together. That's the frequency. That's the sound. That's the vibration. So when you think about two atoms and the space between those, it's the frequency between those two atoms that holds it together, like the string between your fingers. When it's taut, it's in balance. It's solid.
Yeah, absolutely. The that's what that string that representing the frequency between the two atoms is what makes a rose, and what makes wine, wine, and what makes a tree, a tree. You know, it's all made up of the same material of the atoms, but it's the frequency that makes it different. And it's, you know, and the actual space between the atoms, you know, that's interesting. I don't know as much about the actual space between the atoms and construct of that, because when I was talking about the space, like that 99.9% space was within the atom itself. Like if we look at just one atom, if the space between the nucleus and the electron is all empty space.
That space in between is the unlimited possibility field. And a couple weeks ago, we had a proclamation on unlimited possibilities, and I would like to put out there that our whole audience participated in it, and Floyd and Cheryl and Freedomizer Radio and the participants put all that out there for unlimited possibility to open up consciousness of the individual. So it's interesting that you said in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks that you've noticed a shift in the field. So, but really the space in between is the unlimited amount of possibilities.
That's right.
I was kind of going for the space being spirit, being God, universal energy. I don't want people to get hung up on words, because people get hung up on words, what those things mean, what somebody told them they mean, and then they lose the general idea that we're trying to get across. So don't get stuck on the words. Understand the principles. Feel it inside of your heart, because that's where it's going to resonate. Do the studies. Come by and join us in we're having some bad up there. Sorry about that. Let me see if I can get rid of that. Sorry, Cookie. I muted your mic for a little bit. We're having some interference on that side. So we'll come back to you here in a minute.
We definitely want people to get a hold of the research, because that's like that information is so much power. You know, like being able to say it is one thing, but then saying, hey, well, check this is the research behind it. You know, you become instantly credible. You know, it's an instant thing, and you know, when you talk about it with people too, not everyone's gonna get it. And not everybody is going to want to get it right away. But the thing is, they can't unhear what you've said. You know, that's why, you know, when I'm around people and I talk to people, I'll treat everybody like as though they're getting it and they want to know. And you know, sometimes when people don't get it, they get angry or they get a little, they're like, oh, well, why are you talking about this? You know, but you know, if you the thing about being a good teacher is that seeing where somebody is and seeing what is relative to their mind, and maybe even just getting one concept out, like, you know, that, you know, peace meditation made an effect on the war in Lebanon, or just a certain thing, like, you know, hey, you know, atoms are made up of nothing practically, and just get people thinking. Because even though people may not be on board with you or completely understand what you're saying, you make a big impact on them, because they can't unhear what you say. They can't unhear it, and they will think about it subconsciously. And you know, subconsciously, everybody is an infinite being. It's just that people get so well programmed into believing certain things. And it's not that what they believe is wrong. It's more or less that their mind gets kind of closed to accept change. And one of these biggest things is the ability to accept change. And this is something that I picked up from Kevin Trudeau too, is that your ability, your teachability, And that has to do with your willingness to change and your willingness to accept change and your willingness to learn. And when those both are very high, you can make, you're very teachable, and that's how people can be. But some people, their willingness to learn is high, but their willingness to change is zero. So your teachability is zero. So you have to look at people and gauge it too. You know, like a good speaker is only a good speaker knows his audience. You know, like I'm just trying to prepare, because I know that when I talk to, I'm met with a lot of people that say, hey, you know, I don't get it, and this and that, and you know, you got to just say, okay, that's fine. And just, no, it's not for everybody. But we're only looking for 1% of the population. We're looking because that is enough to bring change. And even just teaching people, hey, play with intention. Play with intention of bringing peace, or play with intention of this stuff. They don't even have to know what they're doing. They don't have to know that this is the science behind it. Just say, hey, you know, this is something that's going on. It's a pretty cool movement. You know, it's something I do. You know, you should try it out. There's a whole bunch of science behind it, but if you want to do it, you know, you'd be making a big difference in the world. And get them interested that way and see if they want to do that. And then you can steer them over to the research. And then, you know, you can unlock a mind, unlock a spirit. And then that person's going to want to go and teach another person. And it's, or at least get to the point where people are starting to realize their power, because it takes time. And it gets a little frustrating on sometimes. But that's where you have to daily motivate yourself every day and know that what you're doing is making a difference, and that you will get all these things. And it's just remembering who you are. It was the quote, you know, motivation is like bathing. It doesn't last, so we recommend it daily. So you want, you know, like you take a shower just about every day, you know, like most people do. You know, you should motivate yourself every single day. You know, like take 15 minutes to write down affirmations about, you know, how great you are and that you're an infinite being and that you are enough, all that stuff. I mean, you know, pamper yourself, love yourself, you know, absolutely love yourself. You know, a lot of people, like, you know, you're raised like, oh, don't think so highly of yourself, you know, or you're conceited or this and that. You should love yourself more than you love anybody in the world, because your spirit loves you. You should love yourself completely and unconditionally, and completely just like feel that love for yourself. Like, love yourself. And that's a huge thing. I mean, if you don't love yourself, then you don't believe that you should even have all these wonderful things that you really desire. You have to feel deserving. You know, so that's like, you know, you deserve to be happy. There's no reason, there's every reason in the world that you should be. So put that in part of your motivation. Just like every day, like take the time to do it. Take the time to write it down. Write down what it is that you want with your affirmations once you get back, and then say it 12 times. You know, by the first time you say it, like, okay, this is boring. You know, but then you start feeling good. You know, write down all the things that make you really happy, and then read them. You know, like in the middle of the day when you don't feel that great, take out that piece of paper. You wrote all the things down that you really love to do, and all the things that you really want to accomplish in life. Then you're forcing yourself to think about things that make you happy, and then that will change your vibration into feeling happy. You're tricking yourself into feeling happy. And when you feel happy, you're putting out the vibration and frequency of happiness, and it's going to come back to you. And I think the only difference that I found in my theory that I'm adding to it that is different than what they're in these other sources I got it from, is that I'm saying, look at yourself and look at your mind as sound, and look at everything as a sound or a note on the piano. And that, you know, you can, your brain is that piano, and that when you play it, that note, it's going to come to you. And, you know, and it's an everyday type of thing. You got to do it every day. Every day, blast out that music, play that music. You're learning how to play your brain. You know, you're saying, I'm going to do this, because everything that you have, you've brought that to you from your brain. And then, you know, it's like, you know, you may say, like, okay, well, I'd like to be a billionaire, or I'd like to be a millionaire, or something like that. But how many times have you said, I want to be a billionaire, and believed it? How many times have you said, well, I want that? You know, and it's amazing how they get people to feel like, oh, well, money's the root of all evil, and money is terrible. I don't want to be a rich jerk. And guess what? You're not gonna be sending out that song, the money song, or whatever you want to call it, the sound of money. You're not sending it out, so you're not gonna be a millionaire, billionaire. But when you start saying, oh yeah, I want that, then that's the beginning of the creation of the music of your brain that goes out into the symphony of the universe. The universe is like a huge symphony, and it has to tune.
You know, what you just described is God created us in His image. In His image and His likeness. God created the earth, and He created us. Why would He not give His children the power to be creative?
And I also want
to create in the same way He does. We're limited in a lot of ways.
I just want to put out there that for people that don't believe in God, right? I believe in it. It doesn't matter what I believe, but just for the people that don't really believe in God. You have to at least believe in your spirit, that you have a spirit, okay? And that you came, and your spirit existed before you became human here, okay? I mean, try to imagine this at least. You were at least a spirit that consciously chose to be here. Now, would you put yourself in the position, into a reality, where you had absolutely no control? And just whatever way the wind blew or whatever way the ocean brought your ship, that's where you went. And, you know, and then that's a concept that I thought of one day driving. And I was like, would I have chosen to come someplace where I had no control? I don't think that – it just doesn't make any sense. So if you look at it just as you by yourself being a spirit coming here, you didn't come here without the ability to control what's going on. And as far as the image of God and being created in the image of God, if you're created in the image of God, that means that you are a part of God, that you are a creator. And as the creator, you're creating with the brain and with the music and with your thought. The thought exists first. Then the brain resonates that thought, and it goes out into this physical reality. And that's how that all happens. So whether you're saying we're in the image of God or just spirit or just whole big spirit and whatever, I really believe it's all the same thing. And what Charles said is right. Don't get hung up on words. You know, words can mean a bunch of different things. But when we talk about how you are you, you have your own unique thoughts and your own personality, and that you definitely exist. Whether everything else exists or not is debatable. But you can prove to yourself you exist because you're thinking you are. You know, you are there, and that you have this control over what you can do in this reality. So you can't feel powerless. You know, and it's like you have all the power, because sometimes it's just like if you put all your faith in God, and it's the same principles. You put your faith in God, and you believe God, and you say, and you pray to God, and you say that I want something to happen, and I really, really want this to happen. I have faith, I believe. It's the same idea. You're putting out that frequency, and you're putting out that song. You're from the brain. That it's the same idea. So, principally, you're doing the same thing, and so that's how it works, and that's how people really. You know, when people are saying, oh, I really, really believe in God, I really, really believe in this, that's because it works for them. They've seen proof that it works. And there's everything right with that, and it's fine. But I had to go a little deeper and find out why this works in a quantum physics or scientific way. And it all works. It works. And, you know, and then someone like the life of Jesus, who's supposed to be the Son of God, he came here and performed miracles. Well, what if Jesus was someone that came and was absolutely understood the power of thought and the power of vibration, And that when he did all these miracles, he was changing the vibration. He was a master of vibration and changing it and doing these things. And that he's such a magnificent role model for the human race and saving, because he was telling you, you know, do unto others that you want done to you. You know, believe, you know, in these things. He was telling you how to use the brain, how to manifest what you really want and love in your life, because he wants you to be happy. He wants the whole human race to be happy. And that's, you know, this is, again, my ideas and stuff, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but I'm really trying to draw as many things back to the idea of everything being sound in a vibration, and that these principles that are taught, whether they're religious or agnostic or whatever, it all is connected, and it's all right. And the only thing that I find wrong about anything is that some religions are divide against people, whereas that really we're all saying the same thing, and we kind of get divided sometimes, like, you know, like whether or not like someone's a whatever kind of religion or creed and stuff. But that's why I really didn't talk about it too much, because I just did talk about it, but I just want everybody to understand it. It's all the same principle. However way you want to look at it and believe it, you know, you are an infinite being, that there is a divine plan, and that you are a soul. You are this magnificent being, and you can believe whatever you want, and you can see however that happens. But when manifesting in this reality, it's all every rule, everything from every kind of book from the Bible to whatever, it's telling you this. It's the same principle. It's all the principle to not to kill, you know, to, and it's just that golden rule that just comes up everywhere, that golden rule. And it follows all of this stuff. So I hope I made sense. I hope I was making sense.
You've got so much energy, Tom. It's like somebody just plugged you in after not, you know, your battery had started to run down and you started all back up again. I mean, it's been wonderful to watch your energy.
Well, thank you. I don't know how that works, but I guess I get fired up over things.
Yes, you have gotten fired up over this. Well, we're back at the bottom of the hour, so I'd like to take a quick little break. What would you like to talk about when we get back? Because we've got about another half an hour.
Can we take questions? All right, callers, or did anybody call that wants to talk? Or
we have a shy group today.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll talk about anything. I like questions, but as far as
okay.
Well, maybe someone will call in over the break.
We're putting out the signal. We would like to have your questions, whether you type those in the chat room for us to get here, or whether you call in and participate.
Or if you just want to say something, you know, anything.
Yeah, if you just want to say something, anything, share something.
Yeah.
What does music mean to you? What does it do for you? What effects does music have on you? These are all things that you can call in and share about. 347-324-3704. And we will be back.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
Hey, Bob!
What is it, you buffoon?
It appears there's a new show on Freedomizer Radio.
What? This can't be. Does Lord Rothschild know about it?
Nope.
Well, inform him immediately.
But, Bob, there's something you should know.
What is it, you simpleton?
Well, Bob, it's about the host.
Spit it out, man!
Well, Bob, the host is none other than Max Casey from the Black Market Liberty Show.
This can't be. How did this happen?
Attention, all New World Order and UN troops. Spread the word. No one is to listen to the show. Do not tune in. We must stop Max Casey and keep people from listening to the Black Market Liberty Show at all costs. The New World Order is counting on it.
The Black Market Liberty Show with Max Casey, Fridays at 6:30 Central and Saturdays at 8 Central on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Max Casey is one of our newest hosts and shows here at Freedomizer Radio. And I love that commercial. It really made me think about this show. They don't want to listen to this. Because this is really powerful information. Okay. Are you there, Tom?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. We have a caller from area code 509. I'm going to make your mic live as soon as my computer cooperates. There you go. Your mic is live. Tell us who you are and what's on your mind.
Hi, this is Mary from Washington. My heart is just full of gratitude now, and thank you, Tom, for that wonderful inspiration. And I also want to thank Floyd for putting this call together, and Cheryl from Monterita. And if it hadn't been for my good friend Cookie inspiring me and being with her and instructions and things, I would never have heard of this, and I wouldn't have been on this today. And my heart goes out to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. I can feel your energy. It's very
high. Oh, good. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
So what's up?
Well, that's all I was going to say.
Thank you.
It's just gratitude. You know, lots of times I try to just have when I say a prayer, to just have a whole prayer of gratitude, not ask for anything, just being grateful. And that's what I feel like right now.
Oh, thank you so much. That's wonderful.
That's so sweet. And you know what you're doing when you put out that gratitude and that feeling of it, your brain is singing that song. And so what's going to happen is events, circumstances, and people are going to come into your experience where that feeling is going to be reinforced. So be expecting more things to happen that are going to make you feel like this.
I kind of missed a little bit right at first, and I didn't know if there was I'm just thinking, it'd just be nice to have a sheet music and sit down at the piano and just play. Now, what is it I want to play? You know, I'm just looking for all of that, and I've already ordered 4 books of that book about your tongue. What was that? Anyway, so they'll be coming. So I've already ordered that. What is that, Tom? The name of that book about the tongue?
Oh, the
You're hung by your tongue? Yeah.
It's a book talking about how whatever you say becomes true.
Yeah.
And the power of your thoughts and intention behind those words. And it's a great book, and it's just so true that when people when they talk, I mean, when I started learning this stuff, did I start watching what I said? I stopped cursing for the most part, you know, and I really only said what I wanted. I would never say anything bad about anybody. I had to stop myself a bunch of times where I'd be like, you know, saw something where I would crack a joke on somebody, and I stopped.
Yeah.
I won't do it anymore, because by me doing that, then that means someone else, then that has to come back to me. So then someone else is going to say that about me, or something bad will come back to me on that.
I believe that too.
So it's just
For quite a while, I've had this book and been reading it, and I always think that it says, and I think the name of it is, "You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought."
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
Yes.
You know, and people do that because they're being negative is easy. You know, because there's there's a good amount of negative people out there that just they like to talk about negative things, and they have these gripe sessions of, you know, why they don't like something, and then they have a billion reasons why they don't like something. And
I can't even hardly stand to hear anything that things like that. I try to turn it around as quick as I can.
Right, and the more that you do that, the less your brain will put out those songs. And it will stop. It will stop being in there. It will stop. You will stop finding those things. Like, you know, for instance, like, you know, bad things on TV. You know, you turn on, and you see something terrible on the news. You know, that's because you haven't stopped making that frequency. So when you completely put yourself in the positive, and you know, then all those negative things will just not come towards you. And I just want to say one thing about the thoughts. Of your thoughts, and this is the best way to prove to yourself that your thoughts are magnetic and they attract like thoughts. So as soon as something happens and you think of one reason why you can't do it, then all of a sudden you're going to think about 50 reasons why you can't do it. But if you constantly consciously change that habit, so when something comes up and you come up with one reason why you can do it, all of a sudden you're going to think of a bunch of reasons why you can do it. So it's that first thought that you have is the most important one. So it's that you have to train yourself that when something happens to automatically look at the positive. Because once you do that, you set off a chain reaction for all the more positive thoughts to happen. So that's one of the best habits that you could possibly have, is to find the positive right away, almost instantly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's a biggie. You know, because when people start talking about, like, oh, you know, the Mets, they're doing terrible this year, and why the Giants did this, or why whatever this, they'll come up with 100
reasons. What did you say?
Either the Jets or the
Mets. That was the negative.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. When people do that,
I know.
They'll come up with all these reasons. But if they start, you know, it's just watch. Start observing your mind. Start observing when you think something. Consciously think about what's the next thought that comes to your head. It's gonna be a like thought. Your head's a magnet. Your minds are magnet. Your thoughts are magnetically charged. So when you have a thought of something, you know, that's one of the first things that I was like, hey, whoa, this there's some truth to this universal law of magnetism and attracting certain things. Like, the thought is what does have a magnetic force, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Well, thanks for all of this hope you've given everyone today. It's so wonderful, so powerful.
Well, I from the bottom of my heart, you're welcome. It makes me very happy to talk. I love to talk about this, and I
can tell that.
And I want everybody to have and be and do exactly what they want, because that's what we were made for. That's what we're made for.
I agree. Well, thank you very much again.
Oh, you're welcome.
Talk to you later.
Have a pleasant night. Thank you.
Okay, honey. Thank you. We have another caller, Tom, from area code 480.
Hello?
Yes, your mic is live.
Hi, this is Cecilia. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. I've been enjoying what you've been saying. One thing I'd like to put out there is definitely I'm a firm believer in energy and how it affects people in music. I wanted to tell you a little story about something. There was one time where I was on Mill Avenue in Tempe, Arizona, and I was just out there, and we had some cool people, you know, some other musicians coming in, and we all decided, hey, let's just do like an improv type of thing. But, you know, we were all, you know, putting our love into what we were doing. And so I had this deep sensation that I should sing something about, you know, people needing to feel stronger. And it was all how people like to say, off the cuff, right? But there I did, and I sang, and basically about, you know, if you're ever feeling really low or not feeling good, to just remember to rise up and be stronger. Look towards the good, you know, have a positive outlook on things. After that, we had people coming up to me. There's this one lady in particular I remember. She came up to me, she gave me a hug, and she said, thank you for that. I really needed that today. And I think that was one of the one points in my life that really, like, changed my view about a lot of things, and especially music, like realizing since birth that this is something that I must do for not just my family, but my friends and people from around the world, to make them feel good, to give them more of, you know, a feeling of strength within themselves. Something that I also like to say is called euphoria, a feeling of euphoria. Get them out of whatever it is that's negative and plaguing them at that moment, you know?
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful story. You know, you pulled somebody, you changed their vibration. They were feeling sad. They felt weak. They felt that they couldn't achieve or do what they wanted to do. They felt doubt. But your music, your singing, and your words, you pulled them out. It's, you know, you ensued the power of music. You fired their brain in a certain way. You made them feel that euphoria, that grace, that feeling. It's one of the most priceless things. You fired off the dopamine in her brain. She felt good, and she gave you a hug. And I can't tell you how much hugs are important, the tactile contact between humans. People need the hug, not just a handshake. Give a hug. You know, if you want to feel a little bit better, get a hug. You know, play the music. It's just so important, and it's just a beautiful story, and I'm so happy and glad that, you know, you shared that with us, because those are life-changing things and moments where and you have clarity on what it is that you love and what you want to do. And, you know, those moments of clarity are you know, that's spiritual, you know. That's your inner being, like touching your soul into your consciousness and telling you. And that's just really great.
It is, and I think it's wonderful that you work with special needs kids, because, you know, there's a lot of times where they may be feeling confused about certain things, you know, and, you know, to bring out the music within them also, you know, and give them that light and that love, that's a beautiful thing.
It's
just wonderful.
It's I can't tell you how rewarding it is. It's a lot of it's trying. It's hard. You know, it takes a lot of work and patience. But I treat these kids exactly like I would treat normal kids in a regular mainstream school. I expect everything. I push them hard. I want them. We have tremendous concerts. We have great concerts. And I mean, we sing these songs, and, you know, we got about like 60, about 60 kids up on the stage singing songs. And, all, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, behavior. I mean, it's basically behavior modification through autism and all, and the whole spectrum and stuff. And, you know, and it's just not me. I have another a teacher I work with. Her name is Jen. And we work really well together. And what we accomplish is really, really, you know, it's trying. But when you get to the concert and you see these kids up there playing and doing music and stuff, I mean, it's all worth it. It just instantly becomes so worth it. And I really enjoy what I do. I really do. And you know, I learned so much from them because, you know, I teach some of these concepts to them and telling them that they can have, be, or do anything they want, and to find the desire in their lives, and to get, they can have and do it all. And they need to hear this. And then, you know, giving them the opportunities to do stuff is priceless. And it's so absolutely worth it. And thank you. I really do appreciate that. And it's something I wouldn't trade, because I truly love it. It makes me really happy. No matter what, you know, it's what's in your heart, and bringing and having these kids experience what their hearts can be do, and that what they can do is absolutely priceless. So
I agree with you on that. Most definitely. Thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I wanted to tell everybody that, you know, just listen to the music. You know, there is, you know, black and white, good and bad. Like, one thing I remember is Shakespeare's Othello, the themes of the black and the white. But at the same time, you know, through your own experiences and putting it out there, you know, for those of you who are not quite sure, just as Tom said from before, the intention, just try it out with the intention, see what happens. You know, say, hey, today, like Tom said earlier, I'm going to have a good day. Today is going to be the best day. And just go along your day and see how things change in your life that way. And you'll see that within time, it'll just flourish more and more. A little seed is planted, and then you have this beautiful flower, the iris that opens within your eye. You will be able to see. And it's going to be a new life. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be rewarding. And any situation that you put in, you're going to be able to get through it, and it's going to be, I just pray for all of you out there. And I wanted to also thank you for Freedom Rising Radio. It's wonderful. And also the special program that you're having today. You know, all of the musicians out there that, you know, do need to hear this. So, you know, to remind themselves about energy and how music does affect through words, through sound, through frequencies, the electricity running through the body and out to the audience. So...
Absolutely. You nailed it. That's it.
But, but yeah, thank you so much for the show today.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really appreciate it. We're all enjoying it.
Good. Best day ever.
Best
I did that today
ever.
Too. I wrote it down. Best day ever. And it's proving to be, you know? That's great.
Well, Tom, we've got about four minutes here left. So would you like to kind of wrap things up into a little package that's a few minutes long?
To wrap it up, you want me to do?
Like a final message.
Okay, all right. Final message. Final message is that you've just listened to the show. You've just been empowered completely. You've been completely empowered. You're going to have the resources to do this and have this and be this and to realize everything and completely hold your reality to what you want it to be. That's number one. You have the power. Number two, the world needs you to play music. The world needs you to set forth your intention and to save the world. Because it's you, and only you, that's going to be able to save the world. I want you to spread the word. I want you to spread the word about this whole thought and intention and steer people to this. we don't have a website up now, but it's in the drawing stages of putting it together, where we can keep track of how many people are doing this and having are saying the pledge or saying the affirmation. Affirmations are so important. So that the idea of setting your intention of bringing forth peace and abundance in the world and having your dreams come true. Say that every time before you start playing and every 20 minutes after that. Please get send an email to seetheflower@gmail.com. See the flower, like see as in cat, the flower. That way we know. This way you're saying, hey, we got the message. We want to save the world. We want to do it. You know, we want in on it. We're the new superhero heroes. You came here to be superheroes, and you are a superhero. Don't ever forget how much power you have. Now that's our job. That's our mission. The mission is to spread the word, to get it out, to practice it, to do it, improve your life to your dream standards, and bring forth this peace into this world. So keep in contact with us. Remember, that's seetheflower@gmail.com. And so we can keep track, and we're going to tell you exactly how many people are on board so you can see the numbers grow. And as you see the numbers grow, you're going to feel better, and it's just going to get it. The energy is just going to just go. I mean, this is the beginning of striking a chord, striking a note, and it's just going to get – this is going to be this world symphony of people, because we're all going to have different frequencies. We all have different thoughts and intentions and parts of our hearts that we're going to add into this amazing, amazing worldwide movement of musicians. And this is going to be the first thing of its kind in world history that I know of. You are the beginning of it. You are at the ground level of bringing this up to be the most important event in human history. We will save the world. We will bring forth peace and abundance, and you will manifest your entire dream, realize your dream completely. I promise it. You just have to do it. No one's going to come save you but you. You know, you are your savior. You are going to do it. You are the ultimate creator. You are a musician. You have so much power. You have so much power. It's unreal. And so just realize that. Put it in. Use it. Use it, use it, use it.
Okay. It's been used. I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
Freedomizer Radio, I just got permission from the big boss man. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. See the Flower Music Hour.
Wow, that's terrific. That's great.
So we're going to be discussing all of these topics, bringing in special guests.
That's great, because this is going to keep, that'll keep it going. And that's good. And people tune in, find out, give updates on that. Not even just blues, all that. That's awesome.
So tell your friends, come by. We'll be sharing music and poetry and what music means to you and how you are moving this project forward. So
great idea.
We're going to be changing the world 3 hours a week here at Freedomizer Radio.
And remember, it's nonstop, 24/7. Do this 24/7. You know, when you're not doing it, when you put your instrument down, someone else is picking one up. It's a nonstop thing, starting right now. Nonstop.
Right now.
Right
non-stop.
Now.
Non-stop. Right now. We love you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Proof. Thank you, all of our Freedomizers, everybody listening to us today. And find us. It's not hard. We're always hanging around here at Freedomizer. You can find us on Facebook. Come and join us. We love you. God bless.